This is PFW in progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy.
And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine they made Sinatra look like a hobo. In other words, Cindy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite, and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream, and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will tell me that I have an IQ of 48, and am what some people call mentally retarded.
EFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
Thursday afternoon delight. PFW in progress here. Gillette Stadium. Andy Hart. Paul Perillo. Michael Felger observing in the background, pounding away on his keyboard.
Hi, boys.
On deadline for one of his many, many jobs right now, clearly. I'm not sure he'll be an active participant at this point. Patriots
we
preparing.
I think I'm going to go out and get a sandwich. You boys want anything?
Oh, it's funny you should bring up food. Because a former backup quarterback for these New England Patriots, one Scott Zolak, promised that he was going to...
Zolak?
I know Drew wouldn't do anything. Drew's just rich and counting his money. Zolak promised to bring us food for this show, Mike Felger, and I'm down here, and there's no food.
And why did he promise?
And he promised because he stole our food in the first place. He stole an entire tray of wings that were for the PFW boys.
Which,
you know,
not really. But
Mr. Backup Quarterback made millions over his career. Oh, Mr. Rich Pants radio TV guy.
Mr. Rich Pants.
Couldn't buy his own wings. Had to steal
Zolak.
PFWs. We're making minimum wage here at PFW. No money.
Hey, Needle Nose, where are you going to get a sandwich?
I'm actually, I don't know, I like that Omega Pizza.
Yeah, Omega's.
What do you get there?
Omega makes
you know,
a good
I
sandwich.
Actually get a Greek salad.
Oh.
So.
Figured you were a salad.
Yeah.
You like tossed salad?
That is so gay.
Why is she shaking your head?
Wow, David Beckham to join the L.A. Galaxy, huh? Wow.
He's not going to get any tail in L.A., is
wow.
he?
Wow.
Well, is his wife coming with him?
Yeah, that don't matter.
Posh Spice? That would have never worked, yeah? The Revs? David Beckham and Posh Spice just hanging out in Foxborough.
Yeah. No,
they never had a chance in that sweepstakes, huh?
I don't think they
huh?
had a chance.
All right, Felgie, you can go.
Thank you.
We
See
don't
you
need you. Webradiopatriots.com, webradiopatriots.com if you want to join in the fun. First hour, 12 to 1, talking about the Patriots-Chargers matchup. Then at 1, Paul Perillo will leave to go do real radio because he's a superstar in this day and age.
Whatever.
Media whore that he is. And Tom Casale, Fred Kirsch will... join us in studio. We'll go around the NFL. What the hell was that?
That's Steve Burton.
Oh, Steve Burton of the ugly, ugly jogging jacket.
Ooh.
I like orange, and I don't even like it. It's sort of orange. Is that more of a salmon?
I don't know.
It's ugly.
This is radio. People can't
I'm
see
trying
it.
To describe it. That's why I'm trying to paint the picture. I just don't know what the color is, aside from ugly. But second hour. Going around the NFL, only four games this week and only three of us, so you will get some good detailed analysis from the professor, Tom Casale, and Fred and I will just be alongside for comic relief because
exactly.
we offer nothing.
Exactly. Well, you'll have to wait to see what he picks and then just jump
right, and then I'll just jump on board and go with what Tom says. Cause
obviously, that's what you did last week because you both went 1-3 against the spread.
I don't count against the spread. I only count picking winners. If I wanted to gamble, if I cared about the spread, I'd be a gambler. Otherwise, I don't care. I care about winners. I'm like Bill Belichick. All that matters is who wins and who loses on Sunday. And we do have another new addition to the studio, a big, puffy Patriots couch. Gary, would you like to fill our listeners and me in on, Gary's on the phone, on why we have a new big puffy couch in the studio?
Those are now available in the Patriots Pro Shop.
What does one of those set you back?
I think only 600.
It's actually, you know, the Patriots colors and logo aside, I kind of like the style of couch. I like the big poofy kind of lay
like
on it couch.
Room?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of that style, just to lay down on it.
That would work in my
why don't you get
basement.
One? They probably have them in Cowboys or wherever Drew ends up next year. Montana State University or something.
I hope I have it publicized on Patriots Friday. Patriots Monday.
I think I'm getting off that whole kick anyway.
Drew thing?
I won't be following Drew to his next destination unless it's retirement.
But that's actually a very nice couch, and I would highly recommend Patriots fans. That would make a nice addition to a game day room where you have all your stuff hanging up and watching the game in front of your TV. Comfortable. Nice dark blue. Probably wouldn't show stains too.
It would work in Thomas's room, which is going to be Patriots themed.
Who's?
Thomas.
Oh, your son. I was like, who's Thomas?
TJ.
Little TJ. Yeah, go with that.
That
looks
work.
Durable. Is that a microfiber, Gary? So it's good for
Let's
against
check
stains
it out.
And
we'll
things?
See.
I don't know.
No, so I shouldn't pour my Pepsi on it?
Yeah, should we test it out? Are you looking on the Patriots?
No, that's going back to the pro shop later.
Oh, it is? Is that really available now on Patriots.com, Patriots Pro Shop? People can go there and get one. That's a good deal, actually. $600 for a couch, good deal.
Gary, I'm assuming when during John Rook's show yesterday for Patriots Playbook, you got to talk a lot about Andre Tippett. Would that be accurate?
We did. We actually had Ron Borges on talking about the whole process.
Okay. I just want to – seeing all the names again pop up on NFL Live. Wholehearted congratulations from the PFW boys because we have a personal vested interest in this because we're waiting for the induction ceremonies in August when Tip is up there with that ugly yellow blazer on and he recognizes Patriots Football Weekly.
This is Andre Tipp, and that's not what we're looking for.
Well, that's what we're looking for, Tip, and that's what you told us you'd do, so that's why we're that's why we're behind you. That was very well timed.
Plus, he is a gosh darn good guy.
He is a great guy. And
there's also, not to get back off topic, there's a matching chair.
Oh, so what's the set cost you?
The couch is $6, the chair is $5.
$1,100, you can get it set up a nice room. You can get two chairs, maybe go for $1,600, really fill out a room.
How big is the chair that it's almost as much as the couch?
Who knows?
It's kind of odd.
Gary, are you efforting?
It's a recliner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a recliner. See, that's nice.
I said
that's
okay.
A nice set.
I said okay.
I don't know how, it's kind of a big investment for a crazed Patriots fan, but
you do join Dick for a little while.
Well, and now you can get the paints and everything, too, in the exact color of the team, so you can
Glidden,
have the whole room.
I think,
room.
Is the company
you
that
You can
puts
have the whole room painted in that style.
You can really step
it
up.
Well.
Take out a little home equity loan to get all this done.
Yeah, I don't really have a man-town room, though. So I really couldn't do it. My downstairs
really
is more of a den than it is a man-town.
Yeah, I don't really have one either.
My brother-in-law could probably do it if he wanted to. He has man-town.
A good basement. People that have basement, they're looking to finish over. Buy yourself a Patriots couch, some paint.
You know, I wish that we had something of substance to really discuss here in terms of what's going on today. But about the only shred of news, and this is from Andy informing me of this in clips today.
I didn't even read it. I just asked about it once I heard about it.
Jim Trotter from San Diego, who is very close with Rodney Harrison, reported that Rodney actually has a torn ACL.
Partially torn ACL and is probably
And that
done.
Would make him done for the year.
If it comes from Jim Trotter, that's about as close as to a player as any one media member. And that's
I agree.
Basically like getting it from Rodney. So, yes, I would assume that is true. It's again, unfortunate. Another relatively major injury now. I know it's partially torn, so that plays into it, but you're now talking about the fact that I think he's torn part of or all of 5 of the 8 ligaments that are in his combined 2 knees, not to mention the broken scapula that held him out. So he's had a tough year and a half here. And it's just, we were all amazed when he was back for training camp last year and back for the season. Is he up to it again? It'd be unfortunate if we've sort of seen the end of Rodney Harrison's career limp to a finish. And I don't want to, we haven't talked to him. I don't know anything about that. But these are major injuries that are starting to pile up over the last year and a half here. And he has another one. And it'll be interesting to see. I know he works as hard as anyone and motivates himself as much as anyone. It'll be interesting to see how he can recover from this. But in the short term, and from a Patriots fan perspective, the here and now, you've sort of been dealing with this for so long now that it's sort of not a non-story, but a far lesser story with Sanders and Hawkins and Scott and all those guys having worked together so much, Ray Mickens now in the secondary, that they're sort of used to playing without him. So they're moving forward with what they've done for long periods of time now.
Yeah, and, you know, it is unfortunate for Rodney, as you said, Andy, just because of what he's come back from and gone through. And for that, he was recognized recently, by the way,
yep.
For winning the Ed Block Courage Award for the team. All 32 teams, the players themselves nominate a recipient for that award. It's one of those things that means a lot to the players. It might not be a big headline grabber, but he got that for, you know, coming back from the original injury last year. So a very disappointing couple of seasons here for Rodney personally, and I know that he really, really wanted the opportunity to play against San Diego and against Marty Schottenheimer, and he didn't get to do it both times that they played because he was out for last year's game as well. So a bitter pill to swallow, but I think Andy's right. I think that they've played enough games without Rodney, unfortunately, over the last year and a half, year and three quarters, and I think they're as well equipped to handle it as they could possibly be.
12:13 here at Gillette Stadium. Radio studios here for Patriots.com Radio. Still no food.
Are you suddenly...
Scott,
like,
Zolak, the bum former quarterback,
Zolak?
Still has yet to provide us with food that he promised after stealing wings that belong to the PFW boys and were supposed to be eaten by Fat Paul and Fat Andy. We never had that opportunity.
They didn't actually belong to you.
Well, once you claimed them for us, they belong to us, right? You had claimed them with the intention of feeding your talent here at the show. Why is Gary rolling around laughing in there?
I thought, by the way, you suddenly had taken over some AM radio station. You're like leading off with 12:13 here in the fair city.
Traffic and sports on the numbers. Let's get to the emails, though, because we do only have 45 minutes, but I'm sure Fred will read some emails mixed through the second hour as we go around
the league. Keep the emails coming because they only have four games, and without me here to take up all the time wasting the last hour, there'll be plenty of time for emails.
Like you're wasting time now. Hey, gang, Steve checking in. Steve from Ontario. We're big north of the border, huh?
We
have a relatively good following in north of the border, eh?
We do.
Just noticed Tippett made the final 17 for Hall of Fame consideration. Wanted to say a huge congrats for making it to this step. Let's hope he gets in. We all feel the same way around here, and I think he's got a pretty good chance. You know, Ron Borges will do his best when he presents him to the panel, and I think he's got a chance. I'm going to be personally disappointed if he doesn't make it, if they come out on Super Bowl weekend and he's not one of the names.
And I'll tell you, wouldn't it be fitting if the Patriots wound up in Miami, you know, which I think that they will if they win this game, by the way. I'm still fearful of this game. I'm not putting the cart before the horse, but I do think the winner of this game, I said it yesterday, I think the winner of this game is the Super Bowl champ. If the Patriots are in Miami, wouldn't that be something if Tip ends up getting the call to the Hall and he is there with the team and the organization, and that would be
very cool for him and for everybody involved. That'd be nice for the organization. That'd be a nice cap.
I'm surprised you think that would be nice because you're so negative all the time.
I love Andre Tippett. If there was one guy probably in this building from the football department that I'd want to put my support behind, I guess he's not really in the football department anymore, but it'd be Andre Tippett. I think he's a great guy.
Yeah,
I think he was a great dominant player who was dominant right when I started really watching football, 85, 86. Was a tremendous player, tremendous figure, and now that you meet him later, he's a great guy to tell. He's, you know, the old cliche, want to just have a beer with and have him tell a story.
Yeah.
That's him. You know, he can't do it on the radio all that often because his good stories have a lot of language that isn't necessarily appropriate
colorful.
For the
we'll
radio.
Call it colorful language.
But he is as entertaining as they come, good guy. The laugh when he gets that deep laugh going is tremendous, and I do wholeheartedly wish him the best and hope he makes it.
We're rooting for him.
Eddie in Hampton, Virginia. If Ray Mickens covers Antonio Gates in the slot, we the Patriots are going to lose. Ray Mickens is a great player, but what is he, 5'5"? I think that Chad Scott could have success against Gates because he's big, tough, and physical. Antonio Gates is not a physical player. I think that Chad Scott can beat up on him a little bit. What do you think, Paul?
Well, I'm not going to pretend to know every nuance of Antonio Gates' game, but I have seen him make a lot of catches in traffic and fending off defenders. So, in my opinion, that's physical.
I was going to say, it depends how you... Daniel Graham is more physical in that he's a big, bruising, blocking tight end, but physical in terms of does he do what he needs to do to go up between two defenders and come down with the ball?
That's exactly the way I would put it. I think that Daniel Graham is a very physical blocker, but if I had my choice between Daniel Graham fighting off a defender and catching a ball or Antonio Gates, I would take Gates.
Gates all the way, right. No question.
And that's not because I think that Graham is bad. I just think Gates is right now the preeminent tight end in the game and pass-catching tight end in the game. But I don't think that Mickens will be lined up, by the way, to answer the direct question. I don't think you're going to see Ray Mickens on Antonio Gates by himself. That's, first of all, the safeties are going to have to be involved in that. Linebackers are going to have to be involved in that because they're going to hit him coming off the line. They're not going to give him clean releases every time, would you think, Andy? Wouldn't you think the linebackers are going to have to pop him a little bit coming off
yes.
the line?
I would think they're going to be very physical with he and Tomlinson.
Yeah, and I don't think that they're going to be running free as much as they maybe are accustomed to, and we'll see how they handle it.
Barry checking in, and this is just sort of an FYI for all our listeners who may be heading to San Diego. Patriots fans in San Diego, the Orange County Patriots Fan Club has an organized tailgate party. Details can be found at ocpatsfans.com. And they're looking for you to meet, get together at H3 or G3 Gates, and get together with all the other Patriots fans in attendance, although...
Can we come to that?
Thanks to... probably. Go ahead. You going to go down there? Have a dog? Some beers? With your boys?
The party was in your room.
I got to have wings at some point.
No, for... The party's in Paul Perillo's room, because he's going to have his own room. And I'm going to have a roommate.
The party's in Andy's room, because if there's a double, there's more. Wouldn't it just make sense, Gary? There's more room.
No.
More room to sit. More places to sit.
First of all, I don't want anybody sitting on my bed.
It doesn't have to be your bed. You can
be Belo's bed.
The other bed.
There's more room in your room.
It could be my bed.
As long as I'm not sleeping, you could sit there. I mean, when I go to sleep, I'd rather you not be in my bed.
Apparently, this feud is picking up steam between
Sawyer. Shannon. Sawyer, yes.
Subject, Shannon the douchebag, and it's from, obviously, Sawyer in Waterloo, Iowa. Hey, guys. This is my last response to Shannon, the douchebag, no matter what idiotic reply he tries to come back with. I listen to the show for football.
Look at that douchebag.
Not for Shannon's stupidity. That's right. You listen for my stupidity. That's right. Andy Hart's stupidity. Because I'm Gilligan of this Gilligan's Island show right here.
No doubt about that.
Shannon, those were some great stereotypes you came up with. They reminded me of what my psychology professor stated. He said that people who stereotype are self-centered and ignorant. They see one person and think everybody they put into that group are the same way. Here are some other examples of stereotypes. East Coast people are stuck up, blondes are stupid, and businessmen who try to impress you with their accomplishments are compensating for their tiny penises and their inability to satisfy women. Two of these are false. The East Coast people I've met are nice people. My wife is blonde, and I would bet the last 10 inches of my colon, which I now call Shannon, that she is smarter than Shannon, which leaves people like Shannon try to impress us with his high-profile email recipients. Apparently, Shannon is the John Rook of evaluating cities. He can judge them perfectly after seeing them once. If you think bad-mouthing Waterloo is going to hurt me, think again. I do believe that you have been through Waterloo, because I remember a guy driving around with his head up his ass and me saying to my wife, "Look at that douchebag." You want to get on that one? You want to use that? That's a good soundbite there. You weren't ready, were you? Don't you have a Tom Casale, "Look at that douchebag"?
Oh, I thought you wanted me to get yours.
Oh. No, I don't say "Look at that douchebag." That's a Tom Casale original.
But you just did.
Oh. Next time you're in Waterloo,
douchebag,
stop by. After all my shoveling of pig Shannon at 4 a.m., tipping over 1,000-pound cows, and the Tom Casale hitman training videos I've been watching, I'm pretty sure I could bend you over a table and F star 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 you up.
Jeez.
Sounds like it got a little personal at some point here, no?
It's also a little gay.
Ooh, a little personal. I mean, this isn't the fun-loving ways of me and that drunk from Ireland going at it. I mean, this got personal at some point.
I can't believe what I'm saying here, but can we just get back to football? I'm always for the tangents and the nonsense. But
why am I getting an email about an apartment in South Weymouth?
I don't know.
I think I'm just going to delete
it. It's available now, though.
It is.
Good for you.
$1,200 for two-bedroom. I don't know if that's good. Townhouse
style. I like
how
every stream of consciousness that Andy has, he feels necessary to say it over the air.
Well, you know what I am right now? I didn't really want to host today, so I'm the little kid who the parents made wash the dishes, figuring if I break a couple, they're going to yell at me and tell me to stop washing dishes.
Kind of like my theory about cutting the hedges. If I do it badly enough, my father won't ask me to do it again. The only thing is it didn't work.
Before we get back to the emails, we'll go to the phone lines where Jamie in Houston is checking in. Jamie, what's going on?
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you. What's new?
Thanks, Jamie.
Not a whole lot. Wanted to talk X's and O's a little bit with the San Diego game coming up. Do any of you think that are hearing or feeling the way you're sizing it up that obviously LaDainian Tomlinson's going to be the biggest threat to the team? They're going to try and beat us with LaDainian, and then with a tight end, I can't remember his name. You know, he's kind of, you know, going to be the secondary guy after that. You know, but the focus becomes, from the way I see it, is containment on the ends. And do you think Vrabel? Do you think there's any talks or rumblings that Vrabel may move back to his end position, or an outside linebacker to kind of help out with the game plan this year, this week?
I mean, I suppose it's a possibility that. I would think if they did that, they would have to play a 4-3 because I don't see who else would play inside. Do you, Andy?
No, you would probably have to play a 4-3.
So
unless Eric Alexander or one of those guys, I don't think you're throwing them out there in a playoff game.
Right, I've watched Belichick enough over the last 5-6 years here to know better than to say, well, there's no way they'll do that because they'll do anything that they feel gives them a competitive edge. And if they think Vrabel is the only guy capable of fulfilling that role, and I would kind of agree with that, by the way. I don't really like my chances of Roosevelt Colvin or Tully Bantakane being the guy that's responsible for whacking Tomlinson every time he tries to leave the backfield. Vrabel would be the only guy I would trust in that role. I don't know. Maybe you do have to move him outside or, you know, just kind of play a variation of your 3-4 and have Vrabel kind of roaming around a little bit to do that role, but I don't, you know, I would doubt it. I would think that they would stay more conventional to what they've been doing. But again, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that's not going to happen because I've seen Bill do a number of things, not the least of which was the Super Bowl against Philadelphia, Andy, where for the first and only time really all year, he went with that 4-3
right.
look, right?
Yeah, and we saw a little bit last week, and I talked about this the other day, Tully Bantakane playing a defensive end in a 4-3 early down position with his hand on the ground. I suppose that would be a possibility. The way they ran it the other day, Vrabel was the outside linebacker behind Tully on that side. Maybe you could mix it up, put, you know, Tully down in that 4-3 alignment, bring Colvin over to that side, put Vrabel as the outside guy on the other side. That way maybe you kind of have both guys able to be there and knock Tomlinson around a little bit with Tully off the right and Vrabel off the left. I'm not sure. I think there's a lot of possibilities, but I'm not sure that's the route. I kind of agree with Paul. I think you might see more traditional 3-4 type stuff.
Yeah, do you think that's designed to win? I mean that's the one thing we give Bill a lot of credit for, and you guys touched on it, is don't be surprised to see anything. He won't, if he thinks, you know, a scheme or a format gives him the best chance, he's not that proud where he won't deviate from it.
No question, but I also think he's a big believer in, if I need to change up too many things and it takes guys out of position, simply trying to target one aspect of the opposition, I don't think he's a big fan of that. I think if he can do it relatively easily, he goes for it, but I don't think he tries to mix too much up and confuse his own defense. And let's remember now, this is a pretty good Patriots defense, has had success against the run, has had success in the red zone, hasn't given up a lot of points. Not sure you want to totally scrap everything you do and really move everybody around.
Right. I agree. And I can't remember, where did the Pats rank in total defense for their, if they're not second, they're pretty high up there, right?
Points allowed? Points allowed, they were second. In total defense, I want to say fifth.
I'd say either fifth or sixth.
In terms of yards.
At the end of the year. Yes.
Yeah.
They were them and San Diego were very close in terms of yards, but in terms of points, the Patriots gave up about 70 fewer than San Diego. So there was a significant difference in terms of points allowed.
Yeah. Yeah, and then on some other notes, you touched on Rodney, you know, I'm sure I'm in the majority to say, you know, that we're, it's tough to see him not, you know, line up against San Diego, you know, because I think, you know, most of the fans out there think a lot of Rodney as I do, and I know you all do there as well, PFW, and it's tough to see. And if any guy is, you know, can try and make the run and bounce it back, it's him again. I hope so, and I hope he can be productive. But
what's
be tough.
Up, Paparillo?
My favorite.
And then one other last item. Happy to hear news about Andre Tippett. Wish him luck, but if he doesn't get in the hall, I'm going to blame you guys for putting him on that PFW Idol show, and that will probably tip the judges.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
That is a
all
good.
All right, take care, guys.
All right, see you, Jamie.
Thanks, Jamie. It's interesting, though, because we always try to come up with the thing that we're not expecting, because we know enough to expect something that we don't necessarily haven't necessarily seen. That's as good as anything. I mean, mm-hmm. There was a lot of talk today in the press conference about the comparisons between Marshall Faulk and LaDainian Tomlinson. And while Bill kind of shot that down a little bit in terms of the offenses between St. Louis and San Diego being so different, and I agree with him wholeheartedly, that was a pass-first offense in St. Louis. So I think in a lot of ways it made it easier to hit Faulk as often as you did, because he was leaving the backfield without the ball. Do you know what I'm saying, Andy? I mean, I know you're reading an email here. I don't know if you make interest in your opinion on that.
Banging Tomlinson around like they banged Faulk around?
But I'm saying, I think, you know, and Bill talked about how the offenses were so different. It was a pass-first offense in St. Louis. I think that it made it easier because of the way that Martz did it.
Mm-hmm.
It made it easier to hit Faulk like that because he left the backfield so many times without
right.
the football.
Right.
Whereas, you know, obviously Tomlinson, they're going to hand the ball to. Martz made the job easier, I thought, for the Patriots.
Right, but I think the theory is still the same. Just
yes.
knock the crap out of him whenever
yes,
you get a chance.
I agree.
However you get to him, whatever he's doing, because he goes out of the backfield often enough.
Mm-hmm.
He lines up out of the backfield.
Plus, there's
time.
No harm in knocking him around when he actually does have the football.
Well, I mean, that's obviously the best case scenario.
Right.
Is to knock him around by the line of scrimmage with the ball in his hands. But, you know, you see some of those where he'll come in motion out of the backfield. Maybe they go empty. I have no problem seeing Roosevelt Colvin or Mike Vrabel go right with him and just trying to pound the crap out of him on the snap.
And I've heard a lot of talk about, you know, this year that Tomlinson had, and I heard actually one of the Cold Hard Football Facts guys, Kerry Byrne, was on this morning on the local WEI sports radio, and he talked about how this year really Marshall Faulk had a year that was comparable, if not better, in that year. He had a little less yardage, but he missed two games. He actually averaged more yards per game than Tomlinson did this year. But I would say that the main difference to me is Tomlinson is doing it as a runner first. And number one, it's harder to do it that way. And number two, he's doing it as the focal point of the offense. The opposing defense comes in and they say, our number one priority today is to stop LaDainian Tomlinson's running game. That's not the priority when you play the 1999, 2000, 2001 Rams, was to stop Kurt Warner and those receivers and to hit the receivers. That's what Bill Belichick was
right.
focused on, was making sure those receivers paid for every play they made and making sure that you're hitting Faulk as he's getting out of the backfield to be a receiver. He knew that he wasn't going to run for that many yards because Martz didn't let him. And I think that Tomlinson's a lot tougher of a player than Faulk was. I don't know. I'm not talking about talent, because I think Marshall Faulk's a tremendous talent, but I think that in terms of carrying it between the tackles, I think Tomlinson has it light years ahead of Marshall Faulk. I don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah, he's Tomlinson is powerful. I think
yeah.
that's what people don't understand.
I agree.
Is a powerful player. He does all the pass receiving. He can throw. He's athletic. He's breakaways fast, but he's also powerful. And I don't think that's part of his game that gets enough of credit. And the second thing is, you combine his power with the fact that he has maybe the best true fullback in this generation, Lorenzo Neal, in front of him, and they can just line up and play power football. You know, they can just drive it down your throat if they want to, and that's a little bit of a different change.
Freddie, what do you think of the
Fred,
coach?
Why are you lingering about throwing your hands in the air? What's wrong? What's wrong with you, Freddie?
What do you think of the new Patriots Pro Shop couch?
I think it's beautiful.
You gonna get one?
Is that microphone
no.
on?
No, I have a, yeah.
Okay.
You have a $55,000 real hyena leather
see,
couch.
Fred doesn't really have a man town either, though.
My wife wouldn't let that in.
Yeah,
no.
See, I agree with Fred.
Not even in the back of that room you got downstairs, like off in a corner or something?
You have to have a certain kind of a room, certain kind of area in your house to have that kind
For
of
For most
stuff.
People, it's a true basement that they convert into some sort of TV game room, man room.
I don't have the space that you... Whoa, what's this?
Whoa.
Jackpot.
Scott Zolak.
Favorite backup quarterback of all time, Scott Zolak. No, but he sent stuff. So as soon as Gary, why don't you go back in the other room? Because you're
going
to need to throw us to a commercial break in about 30 seconds. We'll be back for another hour and a half of PFW in Progress right after this.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to the first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Bank of America would like to take a moment to let you hear what our home equity line of credit sounds like. You see, if you want to remodel the kitchen,
it smells great, hon.
Or renovate the bathroom.
Oh, my darling, oh, my darling, oh, my...
Or fix up anything around the house, Bank of America's home equity line of credit is the easy, low-cost way to make it all happen. There's no paperwork to bring, so applying is simple. And you'll have access to your money just about everywhere, by phone, online, and at our banking centers nationwide. All of which makes putting that pool in the backyard a little less of a dream and a little more of a reality. So whether you want to have the pros handle it or do it yourself, a Bank of America home equity line of credit is your ticket. Apply today. Just visit bankofamerica.com, call 1-800-900-9000, or stop by your neighborhood banking center.
Clementine.
Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Bank of America. Higher standards. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right. Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords, 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby.
PFW in Progress. My superhero right now, Scott Zolak, because somehow we bullied and badgered him into turning his theft of $8 worth of day-old cold wings into three large pizzas and two orders of buffalo fingers. Greatest backup quarterback that ever lived. He was screwed here. He should have been starting ahead of Drew years ago. What a joke that was. Drew got by just because he had a contract. That was a travesty. Scott Zolak era should have been longer and more prolific.
A lot of people thought that right up until the time he had a play when Drew broke his finger.
Zolak definitely came through on that.
Come on. As a Patriots fan, when he was running around, what was that, an Indy or something, running around pointing to his family up in the top row seats, that was some of the best highlights. You never got that from Drew. He would sulk after he threw a touchdown pass. Scott Zolak was energetic, fun to watch, tremendous, tremendous.
Also never had to go 2-14 under Drew either, like he did that year.
Huh?
They went 2-14 the year he did those double gun salutes, the one game.
Exactly. That was exciting.
Now, his best game was the game where he beat the 49ers at Foxborough Stadium. Pete Carroll was the coach. And, you know, Zolak was the starting quarterback that day because Bledsoe was hurt. And remember, you weren't alive then, but we did the Zorro on the cover of PFW.
Oh, that's good.
That was his best day as a Patriot.
Nice.
Tell the rest of the story now.
What?
About the cover.
What about it?
You had the Z on the cover for Zorro, Zolak.
Right.
And people thought it was actually ripped.
Well, it looked like we made it. Donnie Richmond. That was his best day as a... he made the...
You know Chris Ferreira plays this loud upstairs.
He made the Z... looked like it was ripped into the paper.
Like Zorro with his sword.
So basically, he took what was behind it and recreated it on the cover, so it looked like you were seeing
through
the
table
of
contents and your edit letter and everything.
Yeah, so it was pretty cool, pretty clever.
And we got calls. Well, I wasn't here yet, but they got calls.
That the paper was ripped?
Right.
Are you freaking kidding me?
But, no, that was his best day. Anyway, so thanks to Scott Zolak.
Scott Zolak rules. Tom, what do you got?
Not to change the subject, but is there anything funnier than the Colts leaving Baltimore in the middle of the night? That story never gets old. There's a story in, the Boston Globe about it. I haven't read it yet. I'd be interested to read it.
Yeah.
But whenever they show those highlights of it being pitch dark and those moving vans leaving in the snow.
Well, apparently the Globe's not the only one that, you know, did a feature on that this week. A lot of other...
It's the obvious angle story to that game, the big national...
There's people in Baltimore who still despise.
See, the thing about it, the Ravens, part of the agreement where the Ravens were allowed to keep the Colts' records, but they don't even seem to want them anymore, you know?
Yeah, I hate all those things.
Aren't Baltimore, the Ravens the Browns? You got that wrong, I think, Fred.
The
Browns kept their records.
The Browns kept their records. You're right. I'm wrong.
Kept the old
records. The Browns, yeah.
Should we move on?
Yeah. I still call the Colts Baltimore, so I don't
Joining know. Us on the phone now, Craig in South Carolina. Craig, what's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
You got the day off?
Finally.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're getting
I listened to you guys, you know, afterward, you know, probably a couple times a week, but... And I can never call in while I'm at work.
You got an iPod? Is that how you listen to us, podcast?
No, I just listen to you on the internet.
Oh, okay. You should get an iPod.
Yeah, I've been kind of toying with it, but I just spent my gadget money on a 52-inch plasma. So.
Oh, good call. That's way better than an iPod. I agree with you 100%. Well done. Well done. HD? You get HD all hooked up?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. Now you can't go back. Can't watch regular TV ever again.
No.
Ruins it for you. You go on the road into a hotel, and it's crap TV. So what do you got this week?
Well, you know, I've been listening to, you know, all the sportscasters and whatnot, all the guys talking about, you know, the game this weekend. And, you know, I look at it this way. I can't help but agree with Paul. For some reason, I usually do. If we find a way to beat the Chargers, we will end up in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's just the way I feel about it. I just think that, you know, with Belichick's schemes and us going in, and I don't know if we're going to be doing much run blitzing, but I think we're going to be attacking the line of scrimmage. And so long as we have, you know, good gap control, I just can't see Phillip Rivers beating our defense. Now, the one guy I'm afraid of as much as Tomlinson is Gates, because he's been pretty quiet, you know, throughout most of the year.
He's a pretty good player now.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. And he's a monster. Somebody made a comment a while ago on the show about him not being physical. Well, that may be true, but he damn sure finds a way to get open and catch the ball, you know, to be as big as he is.
Yes.
He knows how to use his body.
He makes plays. They credit that to the basketball background and knowing how to position your body and go up for rebounds and all that crap. He makes plays. There's no question. He makes plays. I want to get back to something that, you know, you said you agree with Paul here. Are you two totally just disregarding the Ravens?
No, I'm not.
Or are you assuming the Colts are going to lose?
But I don't know why. From watching the Ravens, I mean, they really just don't impress me. I mean, and realistically, they're probably they're probably the team that looks the most like the Patriots. I mean, they've got a pretty good offense, and they've got
a running back who was once good.
I
see where you're going.
I just think that with the Chargers, there's more chance of them blowing out the Patriots. I don't think I don't think there's a chance for the Chargers to blow out the Patriots. And if it's a close game, I like the Patriots.
The Ravens, you mean?
No.
Well,
I like in a close game against anyone, I like the Patriots.
I can agree with that.
And I don't think the Ravens can blow out.
But I think the thing that everybody seems to be disregarding is you're going on the road to play the Chargers, a talented physical football team, and you have the chance to have to go on the road again the next week and face the Ravens, maybe the most physical football team in football. You don't think that that's dangerous, a tough proposition, or what? I mean,
well, it absolutely.
I just find it amazing to
look
past the Baltimore Ravens.
That's why it's so hard to play on wild card weekend.
Because they don't have like LT and Maryland.
But don't make it sound like because you think that one team is better than the other one, that means that the other team stinks. Like, I'm not just saying that the Baltimore Ravens.
But what I'm saying is, if the Patriots played the Baltimore Ravens, you know, on any average week, I think I'd probably like the Patriots. I think it's a decent matchup. But to me, the combo, going to San Diego, potentially getting your butt kicked, winning, but literally getting physically beat up on, and then doing the same thing the next week.
Especially if the Ravens cruise against the Colts and don't have a physical game.
I actually think if the Colts win, then, book the Super Bowl if the Patriots win.
Well, I think that Belichick, just from watching all these games over the years, I just think that Belichick is a much better coach at making adjustments than Billick is. I've seen the Ravens, you know, whenever they get behind, you know, they struggle. And, you know, if somebody's got something that's working, it doesn't seem like they really do anything radically different to stop it.
Well, Jamie,
and to
let me ask you
that comes
quick.
Down to coaching.
Jamie, let me ask you, they're all the same to me. Craig, if Billick wins the Super Bowl, he'll have two. Now, is he a genius? Because Belichick's a genius with three. Do you have to have as many as Belichick, or do you have to be close to Belichick? How does that work in the genius
world? I'm not even counting, you know, Super Bowl trophies. I'm just talking about, you know, the regular season gameplay that I see there.
If Belichick had the talent that the Ravens have on defense, I mean, he'd be unstoppable.
Now the Patriots never had any talent.
Not.
Oh, here we go. All right.
Offensively, guys.
They never had a guy like Ray Lewis in his prime. They never had a guy like Ed Reed.
What do you think Brian Billick would do with Tom Brady? Remember when he was in Minnesota and he had an offense?
He wouldn't do as much.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Hey guys.
Nice argument.
Offensively, I think.
Never had a Richard Seymour either.
I think we need to open it up. You know, to start with, I'm talking like 3-step drops, maybe even, you know, Brady. You know, dropping back into the shotgun, spread them out, you know, play no huddle, you know, change up the snap counts. I think it's important, very important, that we get an early lead. You know, if it's, and the other thing is, you know, you got to take the crowd out of the game, but I also feel like if we get an early lead, you know, from playing that kind of offense, you know, I think it's only going to help because they're not going to know what we're going to do after that. I just think that if we play a ball control, you know, 14, 15 play drives, you know, we can't just eat up.
Thank you.
Sorry, Craig. We'll let you hang up and listen to us discuss it.
Out of curiosity, how many drives did they put together that were 14 or 15 plays this year?
This year I'm going to say zero.
None.
I mean, so it could happen, I guess, but. We're asking for things that haven't really happened this year. And I would also you know, the Ravens thing, and I know I'm kind of anti-Raven compared to Andy and Tom, but...
Well, you're still holding Steve McNair against them.
No,
you're still waiting
no,
for him
not.
To go
Shut
down.
Shut up. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, you said he wasn't going to finish the year.
Cue the Gilligan music.
He told me yesterday.
I was wrong about McNair.
I know, but I said. But you said I'm still holding McNair against him.
No, but I'm talking about my stubbornness.
Oh.
That's a different thing. But I'm talking about the Ravens from the positive side. So they don't play well. They don't adjust well. They don't come from behind well. Okay, well, the Patriots play well from behind? Patriots fell behind four times this year. How many losses they got?
Four.
I mean, and that's no disrespect to the Patriots. Teams play better when they're ahead.
Baltimore trailed the Chargers and beat them.
Especially a team like Baltimore, who are front runners. And
they actually, Andy makes a good
best
point.
Best team in football, according to Bill, they trailed and beat
they
them.
They trailed late in that game and beat them. And I just think that most teams try to play a style that they want to impose on the other team, and they do that best when they get the lead. Pittsburgh, we've seen do it for years. That doesn't mean that you can't come from behind. I've seen the Patriots make comebacks before, but for the most part, when the Patriots have fallen behind and not been able to play the game, quote-unquote, the way they want to, they've struggled, just like everybody else.
I don't like this email, so I'm skipping up to it to see where the point comes from. The subject is, no way Tip makes it. This is from Shannon, who got a butt-whooping of phenomenal proportions earlier from Waterloo. Hey, guys, unfortunately, I don't think Tippett will make it to the Hall this year, despite being very well-deserved to be in. The reason why? The bias coming from the NFL front office itself. Check out the article on NFL.com of the 17 finalists for 2007.
They didn't mention Tippett's name.
To paraphrase, they say, really? Matthews, Tagliabue, Thurman Thomas, and Irvin are among 17 finalists for the NFL Hall of Fame. Not to mention, they post only three pictures, that being of Matthews, Tagliabue, and Thomas.
Wow.
It's pretty obvious to me who the NFL wants in. What are your thoughts on that? Well, I think it's ridiculous, the Tagliabue thing. I don't like this immediate...
I think so, too.
What a joke.
Why do we have to put
voter,
him months
a
after...
A voter I spoke to said
yep,
the
exact
well,
same
thing.
Well,
hopefully a lot of voters
joke.
Feel the same thing. But why months after he retires does he have to get into the Hall
Stupid.
Of Fame? Let him wait 5 years like everybody else.
Right. Plus, what did he do?
No, he did a lot of
what
things.
What did he do?
That part I don't agree with.
What did he do?
Being a good manager...
He steered a Cadillac. Kept it clean.
That's what the voter said. He took over...
He steered a Cadillac with 32 drivers. So that's not easy to do. You know,
okay, that was his job. Going in the Hall of Fame? We're doing my job?
We put in every commissioner then?
No, I think if he did a... Did he leave this league better than when he came? Absolutely. This league has done a lot. Now, you could say, well, it's the...
Would a monkey have left this league better than...
I don't think it's that easy, Andy. I give him
think,
a lot more
Fred,
credit
I think you
that.
Would have. No. I think if you had been commissioner, you would have left the league way better off
no,
than
because,
when you found
it. You know what?
Right,
I'd have pissed off... I'd have pissed
he's
off...
getting all giddy.
I'd have pissed off half the owners, and they would have kicked me out. You know?
That's true.
But being... I think he did an excellent job, and I think he deserves to go into the
Hall
of Fame.
So wait 5 years.
He was the head of the league... During its highest, you know, prosperity.
See, I'm
and
not
I think
saying
he deserves something for that. But I think he can wait 5 years.
I'm not saying that he doesn't belong to be recognized or he hasn't done a good job. But I side with Andy, believe it or not, here, even though he goes ridiculously to the other side.
That's what I do. I'm Gilligan.
So he presided over the most prosperous period in league history. But what did he do that was innovative? What kind of changes did he make?
Well, I think
he happened to be there when the league hit a period. That it became more popular than ever.
But I also think that the TV contracts evolved, and I think he was over.
But they were existing contracts that gradually got better.
I mean, when he came in, cable TV didn't exist. He had to oversee. That changed everything.
I don't think that's accurate.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
When did he come in, Fred?
What, 14, 15 years ago?
And cable TV didn't exist?
Let's just put it this way.
I
just think that we're
even I know that.
Fred, I'm not.
MTV is 30 years old.
I was at the meeting. I was at the meeting where they said we have to worry about cable TV. We can't let this run away from us.
Yeah, and I'm not arguing with you about his merit. I'm just saying that a lot of the things that I think he's given credit for were actually done by Roselle. They were on the path of getting these things done.
Well, they were
done.
On the path, but
he was a good manager. He oversaw this. I think he deserves credit. There, you put a boob in here, and maybe it doesn't go that way. You know, stuff like ESPN and TNT, those weren't no-brainer kind of things to get them involved.
Right.
I think you're right about that. But I don't think that's an accomplishment anywhere near
on the level of deciding to put every game on national television.
Right.
Deciding to have revenue sharing right. among all the those things, those are market, those are groundbreaking.
He just didn't screw it up more than doing anything revolutionary.
Innovations but that Pete Rozelle instituted and made the league the best of the four
No,
leagues.
Absolutely. But the whole collective bargaining, I mean, that was a tricky part of the NFL's evolution was the whole CBA and all that stuff. And I think he deserves a lot of credit. And you didn't see a lot of unrest, and a lot of people can say, well, that's because Upshaw was his puppet and all that stuff.
Well, that's another whole argument.
Yeah,
that's,
I don't buy that.
I leave my personal bias out of it.
You know, but I think he did a good job, and I think someone of that magnitude who resided over a time of unbridled prosperity deserves to go in the Hall of Fame. Again, though, he can wait 5 years. He doesn't have to go in months after
But that's
he
a good point, I think, that the emailer brings up about the releases and stuff, and I did see that yesterday, and it did make me think about it. You know, why are they
and nobody's talking
out?
About Tippett.
Well, but
and at first I was originally saying, well, these are some of the guys that have been up; they've been finalists in the past. But Bruce Matthews is his first year,
but
Tippett.
But
it's the ESPN
other thing, though,
age.
It has
that's
no
what
influence
is.
Anyway. It's not like a vote. It's not
right.
a fan vote.
That's the only
these
good thing.
These guys that go in aren't reading Patriots NFL.com and go, oh, Bruce Matthews.
Right.
You know?
They have
no,
their own biases,
yeah.
but
so, I'm not formed by that. I agree.
Yeah.
I think the ESPN age has a lot to do with it too. I think Tippett played at a time when ESPN wasn't ESPN as it is now. We remember, I mean, you could probably think of 10 Thurman Thomas runs off the top of your head just from seeing all the highlights,
right.
and like Michael Irvin catches. And I think that plays into it a bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were talking about how, Andy, you said one voter who was doing the Broncos just stood up and
right.
said, I present John Elway and sat down. Then,
right.
then you guys said, well, that's the way it should be for the Hall of Fame. But I'm not so sure because not all these guys get to see everybody. Like, some of those writers probably don't remember Tippett, probably don't remember
well, they
how
should.
Great.
No, what I'm saying is that's the way it should be, but it isn't because that's not, none of the sports have a Hall of Fame that's reserved for that. My point is it should be just the truly special that there is no argument that needs to be made
right.
on behalf of that person, but that's not the way it is. There are a lot of guys that, well, yeah, I could see him being a Hall of Famer. Yeah, he was pretty good. A lot of guys like that are in there, so if you have those guys in there, then you have to open it up to everybody, and
right.
you can't just have the John Elways of the world in it.
And I think I believe Tippett would be the 17th or 18th modern era linebacker to go in. Is he one of the best 17 linebackers? That's sort of how you ask yourself the question. And
well, I'll tell
he has
you what,
to dominate at his position.
You don't want this radio show if Thomas gets in over him. I'll tell
right.
you that right now.
Right.
You don't want to hear that radio
Derek
show.
Derek Thomas,
yeah.
you mean? Oh, God.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You get Thurman, too.
Derek Thomas was nothing. He was not a shell of the player that
I agree.
It was.
I agree. And I think he would have. Now, I don't really remember, maybe you guys can answer this, what he was like in terms of the media. I remember he was a badass in that he was an intimidator on the field. But how was he off the field? Like, did he have a persona? What
I
was
heard
his...
he was a great guy. And that's why when he died, it was such a, you know.
No, I'm talking about Tippett.
I thought you were talking about Derek Thomas.
No, everyone seemed to like Derek.
Oh, everybody liked Derek
No, I'm
Thomas.
Talking about what Tippett was. Was he the merryman? Was he a cocky? I don't remember how he was. Was there no media covering the team at
quiet.
The time?
He wasn't like.
They were all covering Zeke Moa.
From what I recall, when it came to the media, he wasn't like the locker room spokesman at all. He
right.
was pretty quiet.
I'm just interested in that.
One of those Richard Seymour types
yeah,
that kind of.
Yeah.
When he spoke, he probably had something to say.
Right.
But on the field, he was an intimidator. He was a ESPN era. They would have showed him standing over quarterbacks.
Absolutely.
And I mean, he was a feared player,
yeah, I mean,
a dominant
I, like
feared
I said,
player.
I was pretty young when he played, and I remember. Like, I remember
Tremendous.
Seeing the highlights of him just kill people.
Tremendous.
And destroy them.
Yep.
Yeah, he would just bury guys.
Yeah, and guys feared him. I do remember some little packages where they'd interview Ken O'Brien talking about fearing Andre Tippett and, you know, having to know when he was coming around the corner and all that because he could end it for you. And they did play on that some, but I just wonder what sort of a star, you know, with the black belt, how they would have tied that. I think he would have been a lights-out merryman character.
Something that in today's football, you're
right.
They would have.
Would have been
but
features
then,
everywhere and him in the uniform.
He wasn't juicing. It's all natural.
Probably.
But
just
I think
kidding, Tip.
I have to agree with Shannon, though. I don't think he's getting in.
Yeah, I'm going to be disappointed if he doesn't get in.
I will be too.
I'll be disappointed. I just don't think he's going
to
get in.
I just think it'd be cool to have a guy walking around the office that got into the Hall of Fame.
I'll have to put six or seven more features together next year for him.
Hell yeah. Hank in San Antonio checking in. How's it going, guys? What are the chances that Chad Jackson will play a role in Sunday's game?
This is his breakout game.
Or will we see more of Gaffney? Have a good flight to San Diego. P.S. Will PFW get a MySpace page? Ask Fred.
Why would we need one?
No.
Well, we're kind of big deals.
Well, what's a MySpace?
Go to Patriots.com. That's our MySpace.
We don't have our pictures up there.
I don't need a MySpace.
MySpace, isn't that where I'd put a picture of me drinking with somebody?
Yeah, it's kind of the flea market of personal pages, you know.
I'm too old.
I don't really know what that means.
I still don't even know what MySpace is.
It's
so.
You put up a profile and your pictures and people link to it and you have friends that are in your little community and it's people trying to be social without leaving their dorky computer
is what it is. You know, granted, I like the idea of not leaving your house and not being social and everything, but back in when I was like that, I used to go out to bars and drink beer and sleep with hot women.
Well,
what happened to that?
It's still part of that. Well, they still do, but then they sort of leave a trail of it on the web with photos and friends. And
I guess they're not doing the same things I used to do because we tried to burn those trails when we were done.
It's a little different, but so we're not getting one, Fred?
By the way, look up Dudek on that MySpace. I'll bet you he's got a couple pages.
Oh, boy.
We probably can't even get to it from here.
So, Hank, apparently that's a no. And Chad Jackson, we play a big role.
Yeah,
Will we see more of Gaffney?
I'm saying a highly doubtful.
We won't see more of Gaffney because he topped out last week.
Hello, this is Timothy Frog broadcasting from the Super Bowl.
That's it.
Although, if you keep saying the Chad Jackson thing every week, sooner or later it'll happen.
Right, and then I'm sure that when it does happen, everybody will yell at us the following week saying, I told you so.
Next one comes from, I don't know, it's a long one, I can't, TG in the OC.
TG's not from the OC.
TG's an NJ, isn't it?
Yeah.
TG's an NJ.
Oh,
OC
TG,
is Russell.
Not in the OC, is what it says. I left out the not. I go to the Fred Kirsch School of Reading. Is John
right,
Rook...
That Gilligan music is going to work every time.
Is John Rook correct? Do we want to answer just that part?
No.
I'll say no.
I'm going to go no.
Is it true? Is John Rook correct that the Patriots can't tackle? They will lose the game because of this fact. The Chargers do have a couple of things the Patriots are lacking, youth and speed.
Well, I agree.
John
with
Rook
that.
Said all this because it doesn't sound like John Rook to me.
Look, to be honest, I've seen this year more than the last few guys like Vrabel and Brewski whiffing. You know, getting
those two in particular, you know, I thought really stood out.
I don't think I caught flat-footed, but just getting, you know, on the open field, missing tackles.
Maybe don't have that half a step they used to have, so their brain says, okay, I'm in position. But when they go to make the play, they're not really in position.
I mean, remember last year in training camp, Roman Pfeiffer was there, or 2 years ago, and we all said in training camp, wow, he doesn't look like he's making those tackles that he used to make.
Could be.
And I think he realized it, too. You know,
yeah.
That's why he, you know.
Well, he did try to come back with the Giants, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots will want to keep Asante, but he will be too expensive. They need to spread the money around. Too many other areas need attention. Linebacker, wide receiver, offensive line.
All right, Andy, before you go on, I just wanted to let you know that you gave me that, what is it, the R-Lads?
Yeah.
And they had the free agents this year. If you're not going to sign Asante Samuel and those top two guys aren't on the market like Thomas and Briggs, I'd like to know where that money's going to be spent because this is a very weak crop, very weak. So if you're not going to spend it on Asante Samuel or Nate Clements, there's no other corners out there.
Right. They can't spend everything on one player. Now, Tom tends to disagree. My biggest fear is that Asante will land on a divisional rival or another AFC team like the Broncos. I figure Banta Kane will be back. The Patriots seem to put a lot of time into developing linebackers. It seems like a waste to let him go, although they did work a lot with Monty Beisel.
I'm a PR guy myself. I know that's total bull.
Okay, so we have a little list here. Let's play
a quick game of
yes or no for these guys being back.
All right.
Okay. Who will we see next year? Banta Kane.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Reluctantly. Okay.
I'm going to go with no. Jabbar Gaffney.
Yes.
Yes. Sure. Whatever. Whatever.
Back in training camp, he'll definitely be here.
Okay. Yeah. No. Junior Seau.
No.
No.
No. Daniel Graham.
No.
No. Hell no.
You know, I think he will be.
They made him a captain. That's right, Fred. Yeah. You're right. They made him a captain. They're going
to
sign him.
Captain, all five million signing bonus.
That's
captain,
all it
takes.
That's all it takes to sway Fred.
Right.
Patrick Pass.
No.
I've fallen. And I can't get up.
It's funny when Gary actually puts some effort into this show.
Right, when he pays attention. Todd Sauerbrunn.
No.
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 Go I guess Josh Miller is going to get better. I don't know.
Josh Miller.
Yes.
Who was in the locker room today with a haircut.
I'll say sure.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say no as well.
Vinny Testaverde.
So they're going to need a new punter next year?
No.
No, well, who's next? My father?
Vinny. We're all thrilled.
Kyle Pasady.
Is that what it says?
No.
Oh. I just added that. Unfortunately, I think the answer is yes.
Yeah. Tom has a big mouth, doesn't he, Fred? Tom.
Well, but listen.
But are you off or on now? Tom, interesting to see that Steve Grogan favors the Patriots in this game. Anything you can add from your interview with him?
He just likes the matchup. He thinks they're going to get rid of the ball quickly. We were talking a little bit off air, and he thinks they're going to go shotgun and spread the receivers out. And he's the one that said to me that he's heard that San Diego plays a lot of the zone coverage, where that'll set up the dink and dunk, and he believes that's going to be successful for him.
But I'm not going to pretend I've watched a ton of San Diego games. Why, you know, they play the cover two, so you have the two safeties deep. Why wouldn't you just get your corners up at the line of scrimmage, banging them? If they miss, okay, you give up a play, your safety makes the tackle. But if they don't miss, if they bang them for that 3 seconds, I'll take my chances that Sean Merriman's already in Brady's mug.
Yeah, from what San Diego fans have said, from some of the things I've just read, they said that they play a lot of man. Up front, they switch it up, but they do play a lot of man. So I don't know. I can't tell you. I'm not an expert on the San Diego secondary, how they play.
Because my assumption is the Patriots are going to try and get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
So if I'm the defensive coordinator for the Chargers, I want my corners up, banging the receivers, keeping them at the line of scrimmage so that Brady holds it for a half second longer.
So now you think
that's all it takes.
You think that's the way to beat the Patriots?
That's how I think you beat them this week, yes.
Well, that's how the Ravens play, but you don't like their chances against the Patriots.
I'm the one who said they can't beat the Ravens.
Oh.
He's the one who doesn't.
I get mixed up.
He's the one who already booked his hotel room in Miami.
See, I have no – you're just completely – and this is an argument for next week when they play the Ravens. But this is – it has nothing to do with the Ravens' defense. I think that if the game is 10-7 or 13-10, the Patriots win.
But you know, you know,
I don't think it takes – you don't have to make a lot of plays against
that
Ravens
defense. You know what my
argument
is, Paul? When you're picking the Ravens, it's almost like picking Virginia Tech. Like you're not really picking their offense really. You're kind of picking them getting a couple of turnovers.
And that's why when
scoring.
Virginia Tech plays against a team that's of equal or better value, I usually pick against them.
Well, all right, I like picking Virginia Tech.
All right, well, keep the emails coming.
I was listening to the radio.
Or we won't take a break. Fred's talking.
Some guy calls in and goes, "I have a friend who's got a friend who's in San Diego, and he's
running a no huddle."
Yeah, they're practicing the no huddle.
Yeah, that was great.
You know what though? I was kind of thinking that when.
No, I don't know why.
I said why. I said a T.
No, you didn't. You didn't say the T.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, you're not going to be able to say a T when I have a freaking T down your throat.
Wow.
No. He's threatening his boss.
I was thinking when Bill said that at the press conference, I wonder if maybe they will install some of that no huddle.
Maybe.
Because he said they don't run it, and I don't know.
But is that what you want your young, unproven quarterback doing, going no huddle?
Well,
and
that's the thing. You don't want them learning something new now.
Sort of depends how you feel about Rivers. And
Ray Mickens kept saying yesterday, stop saying he's rookie and he's young. He's been in the league a couple years.
That is true.
Yeah, but he hasn't played. Marquise Hill's been in the league a couple years, too, and he ain't done crap.
I'm just telling you what's told to me, Andy.
All right, that's going to wrap up the first hour. WebRadioPatriots.com if you want to join in. Back next hour to go around the playoff games for this coming weekend.
From a first-round draft pick in 2004 to owning the longest touchdown reception in Patriots playoff history, Benjamin Watson has become a standout for the three-time Super Bowl champs.
One of the best I've ever seen.
Now you can get an official mini replica helmet exclusively from the New England Patriots signed by Benjamin Watson free. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with a chin strap, receiver face mask, and Ben Watson's autograph. All you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Patriots
Patriots Extra Points Visa Card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Benjamin Watson. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to your first 400 with qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Well, it's that time of year again when Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty new snack wrap from McDonald's. It's a premium chicken select with lettuce, cheddar jack cheese, and ranch sauce, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select, and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
All right, back here at Patriots.com. PFW Progress. Paul has left. He's gone to the big show at WEEI.
Zolak.
As usual.
Yeah, you got to do it, Tom.
As
do
usual.
It.
We've lost the fat man and we're running lean.
But Fred's still here.
Hey.
Well, you've been eating. Yesterday I saw you eat a slice of pizza and then two bags of.
And candy.
Frito. What are those
called? I
don't
miss anything.
These are very small.
The one you ate
There's
is
10
the,
grams
what are those
of fat
called? What did
one?
He eat yesterday?
No, these, no, not anymore. These have the 100% pure sunflower oil.
The ones
how
you ate yesterday, what
one?
Did he eat? What are those little scoops? Fritos? You ate Fritos. They have like 20 grams of fat for the little
only
bag.
Only 1 gram of saturated fat.
How many grams of fat?
You know what's saturated fat with fat?
Like
your
said.
Waistline.
10 grams, just like I said. And today you've had what? 5 slices of pizza?
Yeah, no kidding.
You said why again?
At least I'll be alive in a year. At least I'll be able to talk.
All right, let's
see
go
see how much
around.
More fun we have without Paul.
Paul's not here, so can we go talk
did
about
he leave picks?
Who did
yeah.
what last week?
They're not very
yeah,
good
Yeah, we have
either.
The notebook.
Yes,
Tom's got
all right, Tom, why don't you fill us in what happened
three
last week?
Three of us went 4-0, and one went 3-1. That one is that idiot Paul. However, Andy and I went 1-3 against the spread, and Paul and Fred went 3-1 against the spread.
I had a good week.
I just like to
4-0, 3-1.
Picking winners, that now
it
makes
continues.
Me 14-1 over the last two postseasons picking winners.
And I'm proud because I've doubled my win total from last year when I went 2-9 in the playoffs.
That's hard to do.
I'm making big money, though, this year.
Yeah, you're doing good.
I'm not.
Next year,
are
I
you really betting?
15 games under 500.
You want to make a bet on that?
What's the bet?
Well,
you already has a
sandwich, which
now.
You haven't paid
yeah,
up
I got to
yet.
Get you a sandwich. All right. Big deal. I can get that right now if you want it.
Well, you've been owing it to me since October.
Just say, Tom, can I have that sandwich? And I'll give it to you.
He'll buy you this weekend. We're going to be in San Diego for 3 days.
Yeah, I'm not going out to eat Friday night with the...
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah, we're getting in too late.
I'm not going either.
Have you set us up?
No.
I thought I heard something about a limo.
Yeah, I was going to go out with this guy from the Chargers, but we're not going to get into the hotel until
like 10:30.
Can
well,
you hook
no,
me up?
No, 8 their time.
Right.
And then
so it's 11 here.
Yeah, about 9 I'll get out. That's midnight. I'm not having a steak at midnight.
I agree.
So are you going to hook us up with travel for Saturday at all?
Maybe.
I'd like to go to the zoo. You got any desire to go to the zoo?
The zoo is excellent. I went there last year. I'd go again. But I also hear the wildlife park is better than the zoo.
I'm not going to neither. So
why not? You don't like Zeus?
I'm going to sleep late. I'm going to get up. I'm going to work out, and I'm going to watch football.
That is true. We should
sleep
late.
The games start at 4:30, though.
Yeah, no, but we're going to be up over 24 hours.
But we still have another day.
And I got a freaking roommate who gets up at like 4 o'clock in the morning. I hate roommates. God damn it.
Who's your roommate?
Keith.
How do you know you're going to have a roommate?
Because we have had a bigger plane.
Why do you like to get our hopes up
it's
and play these
hotel.
Games with our emotions?
It's a big hotel.
Actually, Tom, a little birdie told me, little birdie, two hotels.
Oh, really?
That there is a separation between team and marketing. Is that accurate, Gary?
That yeah, but which group do we fall in?
Gary, well, that's sort of what I asked, too, because the way the buses are set up,
right.
We get stuck with.
Oh, that's right. We are stuck.
But either way, you get your own room.
Gary, do you work in marketing anymore?
And if I,
technically, yes.
If I do room, I'll come in a room with Andy.
Whoa, who said I want a room with you?
Well, I'm just saying.
I hear you snore pretty bad.
It's awful.
I hear Keith takes pictures of you while you're asleep.
Who's Keith? Photographer, Keith Nordstrom. All right. Enough about our idiocy.
All right. Let's
move into our picks. That'll be a lot better.
Let's go into the picks. The first game is Saturday at
4:30. 14-1, baby, over the last two postseasons.
Nobody cares. They clicked off. Trust me.
Saturday, 4:30. This is the Colts at the Baltimore Ravens. And according to the Boston Herald, the Ravens are 4-point favorites. Opened up at 3.5. Andy.
Went up to 4 when I put my money on it.
I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens. I think that's an interesting number because I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think the Colts will be in it. Their ability to score, whatever. I just think they're going to get beat up. I don't think they're physical enough. I don't think they're playing good football. You know, I think they very easily could have, should have lost to the Kansas City Chiefs if the Chiefs' offense was able to do absolutely anything in that game. They had no help, and they lost the game because of that. But you know, I keep expecting the Colts to have one of these breakout games where, the old Colts, they won't punt. They'll score 5 touchdowns to start the game. Maybe they're just not that good offensively anymore. Maybe Manning's demons creep in the playoffs. I guess the one positive for him is Ty Law's not on the other side of the field this week. But
and by the way, that second interception when Law was on his knees, that was Manning's fault. He was looking there the whole
right.
way, and he doubled, and then he threw it.
Right.
So that wasn't Harrison going the wrong way.
Right. There is just something about him in the postseason that doesn't equal his normal, 5-touchdown pass performance. And I just couldn't have any confidence picking him or that team. I think the Ravens are a good all-around football team playing good physical football, and I think they beat up on the Colts.
Okay, everything Andy said is 100% correct. The media is shoving the Colts down people's throats like Paul.
Well, that's what I don't get.
All of a sudden think that they're a good football team.
Well, not even beyond that, but just to, the idea that if the Patriots win Sunday, they're in the Super Bowl? Like, looking beyond the Ravens that much?
Yeah, I know.
I
don't understand that.
And
I agree with Andy. First, the Colts aren't playing good football. They haven't been for a while. You can look at the Patriots and say, they had a close game last week most of the time. But the thing with the Patriots is they're playing their best football of the year right now. You can't say that about the Colts. They were playing their best football 2-3 months ago. Second, they play much better defense at home than they do on the road. On the road, they're absolutely horrendous defensively. Three, I'm telling you, USC could have beaten the Chiefs. USC or Florida could have beaten the Chiefs that day. That's how bad they. Herm Edwards is a terrible coach, an awful coach. Since the Kansas City fans already want him out after 1 year, I just don't see any way.
Oh, by the way, they gave up draft picks to get him.
Yeah, amazing. I don't see any way, like Andy said, that Baltimore doesn't come in there and beat them up. And that's what the Colts don't like. You got to remember that. They made a big deal about stopping the run with Larry Johnson. I don't care. They weren't physical.
Right.
Kansas City wasn't physical with that team. Baltimore will be, and they'll win by at least 2 touchdowns.
Wow. What's Paul say?
That walking butt crack known as Paul Perillo likes the Indianapolis Colts.
Well, I'm going to agree with him, Tom.
Right.
I got a feeling about this game, and you know how I am with my feelings.
I already understand.
The only reason you have a feeling is because if the Patriots win, then you think they'll be in the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
You want a nice, soft, cupcake opponent.
Yeah, but I also want to have a good record picking these games, and I just think that...
When did that start mattering to you?
When I beat all of your asses.
You won't beat me in this one.
Okay.
I can guarantee
all right, well...
of your asses.
I really... I would hate this pick ball. I mean, everything you said makes sense. But I'd kill myself if I picked the Ravens and then Indianapolis, because that's my instinct is the Colts.
All right.
So I'm picking the Colts.
All right, so we got two people on the Colts and two people on the Ravens. So
all right.
1-0 for me.
Next game.
Just to make that clear, that was excellent football analysis by both Andy and Tom. Fred has a feeling.
Yeah, but they work.
Oh, there's a funny email you need to read later if you get to it. There's a guy who praises you, apologizes for making fun of you so much, and goes, you know, you really are one of my top four favorite PFW hosts. Well, or five if you include Gary.
Gary's never hosted the show, has he?
No, but he's as much a participant as you are.
Let's see. Next game is...
I beat your asses. You get so defensive when you make fun of his picks.
Well, you know, you guys are all talk until it's time, you know, you have no walk.
But the reason why we kind of make fun of you is for what Gary said. You go, yeah, I got a feeling. That's what you throw out there every game.
With gambling, Fred, if I'm going to lose, I'm going down swinging with what I think. I'm not just going to say, yeah, I got a gut feeling.
I got a hunch. I'd rather win than go down swinging, I guess.
Oh, you won't win next year. You got lucky this year. It's all luck.
I agree.
All right. Let's see. Next game, 8 o'clock Saturday night. Well, they just had naked girls on the TV.
Where?
Over there.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
Let's see. The Eagles at the Saints.
Just a little update on our travel movie, Tom. Apparently, we will not be watching Anchorman on the bus. I was laughed at by the guy who provides movies, thinks it's a terrible movie.
Oh, he hates Anchorman.
Who,
that's right.
Capuccio?
Yeah. He hates movies.
Oh, are
he hates
you kidding
it.
Me?
He despises it.
We're
I
watching.
All
oh, what an idiot.
Despises it.
I forgot what we're. No, we're not watching that. That's what I said. What are we going to watch? Godfather again?
Wait a minute. We're letting the radio guys determine what we're going to. If you have the DVD, bring it. I'll put it in.
I don't have it. Gary, do you have it?
I've never seen
bring
a guy hate Anchorman that much. I mean, he
well,
absolutely
screw him. He's not in
it.
Charge of that bus.
The only thing I would say
we're going to be on it for 5 hours. We're going to be on that bus longer than we're on
well,
the
Well, no, we're not.
I know. They figured it something out.
The only thing I – give it to Fred. The only thing I'll say is there's a chance we could watch it on the plane, I would think. That would be a nice movie to watch, except if there's kids, I guess.
I hate kids. And they shouldn't be going.
But he said Midnight Run he's playing.
Oh, Christ. That's with –
That's a good movie.
It's kind of funny. It's with the Charles Grodin
and
the other
De
guy. Anchorman is so much
I've never
better.
Seen Midnight Run, but in true Andy fashion, I didn't let him know that. I just said, that movie sucks.
No, I'm going to call him.
You should.
This is the whole movie? What, did you bootleg it?
I have a DVD recorder. It was on HBO.
How can you do that?
Press record.
It's like a DVD.
That you can record movies off that?
That's what a DVD recorder is.
And then output it to a CD?
Just no,
like
a DVD.
VCR.
It's a DVD recorder.
You just record it to your...
He has a DVD recorder.
Well, I thought there was a way that you could keep from doing that.
The director of media, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, what is your title? Let's look at this title again. You're going to go show the Chargers how to do their website. Great.
What are these things you're talking about, Gary? VCR?
you put it into the holes in the wall, right?
Yes.
All right. Eagles.
He's going to get mad by the end of the show.
Eagles at Saints, 8 o'clock.
What's the spread?
Saints are favored by 5. Andy.
The Saints are favored by 5. I'm going to take them. You know, this is an interesting matchup. I think the Lito Shepherd injury is a critical one when you're going against a team like the Saints that likes to throw the ball. Obviously, Breeze was on pace for some historic numbers at one point this season, throwing for 500 yards and all that. But I just think the whole story is pre-written. The New Orleans Saints continue to roll at home. You know, they made such a big deal of this in the regular season. Now I think a playoff game down there in New Orleans, it's going to be all hyped up. The Saints will be jacked up. And I think offensively they're a pretty good football team. And I know Brian Westbrook is playing great football, and the Eagles are kind of the same sort of, they've put it together here with the new quarterback and all that. I'm just not sold on Garcia. I say he makes a couple mistakes that costs them probably a decent battle early, and then the Saints pull away for, you know, a 10-point win.
So they cover. All right. What does Paul say?
Paul's got the same thing, the Saints and the Saints.
Okay.
This is a tough one for me. I think the Saints are going to win the game. I think they'll make the Super Bowl in the NFC. That's my pick. I feel that the Eagles are playing good football. I like Westbrook against that defense. I think I'm going to take the points. Not thrilled with it, but I'll take the 5. The
Lito Saints, Shepherd?
I know, but the Saints' defense is terrible, too. That's the thing. And I think it's going to be like a high-scoring game, 31-27. if it was three, I would take the Saints. Getting those two extra, I'm just going to roll the dice and
get some value there.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Tom. I'm going to go with the Saints to win, but the Eagles to cover, because I have a feeling.
Okay. I knew you had nothing else to say after that.
All right. Sunday, 1 o'clock, the Seahawks, who shouldn't even be in this thing.
I already got Chicago.
Are at Chicago. Way, so. Chicago is favored by 8.5 points. That I'm a little curious about, but anyway.
That's a leery leery number.
Is that a sucker's bet,
I think,
Tom?
No.
They're suckering people in?
Huh?
To Chicago?
No, they're taking into the fact that people saw Seattle play last week.
Stink. No, I agree. Seattle stinks.
Well, what about the Chicago
The Chicago offense worries me. Grossman,
well, first let me just say that I don't think anybody in Vegas is putting any stock into the final game because they obviously didn't show up to play. They didn't care. Grossman said they didn't care. So I think you eliminate that game because it wasn't a real football game, so you got to go from there.
But Grossman's been looking like he didn't care for about 8 weeks, and they put Greasy in the game before that.
Just remember one thing. The genius that is Bill Parcells decided that with four defensive backs out for the Seahawks, we'll try to run the ball on them. See, I think there's still a big problem there in Seattle that they don't have any defense.
Their defense is not
They
good.
Had Babineau, who got benched at safety guarding Terrell Owens, and they didn't take advantage of that. That's poor coaching.
I think the Seattle Seahawks are an ugly football team right now. I don't think they're very good. So obviously I'll take the Bears to win. And I guess I'll take them to cover, although I don't feel all that confident in it just because the uncertainty on the offense for the Bears. But the best unit on the field is the Bears' defense, even though they had their own struggles down the road. I think Brian Urlacher will be amped up. I think they make some plays, and I guess they cover.
Okay. Well, I agree with Jaws. I think that he said Seattle's the most injured team in the playoffs right now. I think he's right. I don't think they had any business beating the Cowboys last week. I don't think Alexander – I know everyone's blaming Romo, but in my opinion, Dallas should have scored more points than that anyway. I don't think Alexander's right. You can see it when he's running. He's just not himself. I don't know if Hasselbeck's right. He's not throwing the ball well.
Stinks.
All those guys in the secondaries are gone. I think the Bears have one of those where you know how they play as good as front runners as well. When they get that lead, everything starts going their way.
Yeah.
I know the number's high, and if I had any reason to take the Seahawks, I would. I just don't. So I'm going to go with the Bears.
Tom Ashworth plays for Seattle.
There's another reason.
What did Paul say?
Paul's got the Bears both ways.
Bears win this game. I think that's pretty much a given. The thing is, it's not just the Bears' offense. Their defense is a little hurting, too, right?
So, well, they've had some key injuries.
Yeah.
Well, they had the Brown injury. They have Tank Johnson. Is he playing?
Harris is out. He hasn't
Tank's
played.
Not playing.
Tank, yeah. So there's three guys right there that, you know, were big parts of it.
But I still think they're the most of the four units, they're the most talented.
I'll tell you what, Fred. You'll see that next week, I think. I think you'll see that problem if they go up against, like, the Saints.
Yeah.
You're going to see those problems in the defense. This week, I don't know if you'll see it.
They're just not Healthy playing
Alexander,
a team.
Alexander, maybe.
But. Right. Well, Seattle playing up to what they can be, it'd be a challenge. But Seattle stunk last week.
Well, I'm going to go with the Bears both ways in this game. All right, they save the best for last. That's the Patriots at San Diego, Sunday, 4:30. We'll be there. And I'm sure everyone listening to this right now will be watching in some capacity. What do you guys think? The spread is holding firm at 5 points.
Not in all places.
Well, except for Vinny Gumbats that you know.
Well, what are the trends on the spread that you've heard and seen, Tom?
Well, it's gone down quite a bit. It went down to 4. It's at 4.5. It's holding at 4.5 right now.
Okay, because that's what I heard initially. Actually, when we were driving home last week, they were talking about how it opened.
It opened at 6.
And
it went down to 4.
And a ton of money came in pretty quickly, I guess. Went down to 4, and then it's kind of leveled out in the middle there.
Well, here's the interesting thing. Maybe it is or isn't. The over-under is
46.
46.5, according to
this. I hear a lot of people like a high-scoring game here. I'm one of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've said 30-27.
Oh,
that's my prediction.
Yes.
So that's 57 right there.
See, I'd be right at that number pretty much because I think the Patriots will come out. I think they're going to play another good football game. I don't expect them to lay an egg like they did last year in Denver and turn the ball over 5 times. I think they'll be competitive. I just think at some point, that's a talented football team you're playing, coming off a bye,
at home. Cam Cameron is running the offense. I don't think Marty's going to have the chance to ruin it for that team. I think they have something special in terms of their cockiness and their dangerous attitude they have, led by Merriman. I think Gates has got a little bit of it. LT's got a little bit of it. I think they're just a dangerous, talented, young football team. I think the Patriots will run the ball a little bit. I think they'll throw it a little bit. I think they'll score some points. But I think the Chargers score more. I'm going to stick with what I said on TV, 28-17. I think the Chargers win at home in what will be considered a very good football game.
It would
game,
be
playoff
great if,
football.
You know, we'd all feel a little better if there was a healthy Rodney Harrison playing in this game.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him out there, Fred. I haven't heard anything. I just think going back to San Diego.
He's out.
No,
doesn't
no, no.
matter.
Out Joe, there.
Oh, out there.
Yeah, but I Joe mean, Andruzzi was listed out 1 year, 1 week, and he ended up playing that week.
He's not playing, Fred.
All right. I'm
he's
just
not
saying.
Playing.
It doesn't mean it's a done deal that
but
he's
not.
I know.
He's not playing.
I know it isn't, and but it's happened before
his
that
best
the
friend
guy is out.
Is telling us he tore his ACL, a partial tear of his ACL. He's done.
Well, then that's new news.
And, oh, yeah. Well, yeah. We talked about it. No. Jim Trotter reported it today in the San Diego.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that he's out.
He's very tight with Rodney Harrison. Most all Rodney Harrison injury information comes through Jim Trotter. They have a great relationship from their time together in San Diego, and he reported it's a partial tear of the ACL. He's done.
And before I get to Paul's pick, something I noticed on the TV here that's interesting. Part two of that writer from New York's plan is in place. They promoted someone from within in for the Giants GM
yeah,
job.
Yeah, Reese, that Reese guy, right?
So this is interesting now because the writer from New York said they were going to hold on to Coughlin for one more year, they were going to promote someone from within, and next year it's Belichick and Pioli. And two of the things he said have happened. And that was when nobody knew
it's
what
all
was going on.
Yeah,
it's all
not,
speculation.
I mean,
but the two
so
two
far
of the
it's
things,
good speculation.
Two of the things that he said has happened. So that's an interesting note.
And from what we've heard, Bill Belichick is signed, sealed, and delivered through 2007. John Sarnecki from FoxSports.com,
yep,
who seems to have a lot of pretty interesting and accurate Patriots nuggets because of, from what I understand, his relationship with Jimmy Johnson, who has a relationship with Belichick, he kind of cultivates that, said he's signed through 2007. That would play into this whole Giants
interesting
another year
it's
here.
Just,
and
yeah, it's interesting that the Giants didn't go out and get a GM or fire Coughlin and go get a coach.
Right.
Now, maybe it's Cowher. You don't know who it but
right,
apparently they are in a one-year
well,
kind of
Fisher
still.
But
here,
then the
right?
worst
I mean,
thing
guys
that could happen is if Coughlin had a great year. What
well,
do
if he
do
wins
then?
The Super yeah. Bowl, then they're screwed.
I think they're pretty sure that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul likes the Chargers both ways. Well, he's got a note here. He says, the Chargers big, all you fans can go screw.
Wow.
Wow.
That's not very nice, Paul.
He didn't say that. That's just Tom saying it.
That's my little ad lib. I got to tell you what. I picked the Patriots earlier in the week, and I'm liking them more and more as this game. I don't know if it's going to be close.
Tell me why, Tom, because all I have is a feeling.
he can give you the give him the quote. Bill Belichick's quote
yeah,
from yesterday.
They do what they do, and they do it well.
Right,
that
right.
means Bill's going to do something else, and they're going to do it better.
Right.
I don't know. I the Chargers are more talented, but we've seen the Patriots beat more talented teams in the past.
This is
the
talent
playoffs.
Versus the team. This is how this is built.
And
yeah, no question.
Here's my problem. I like the Ravens, we all know this, against the Patriots. But if it comes to that, now we're talking the AFC championship game.
Right.
Now you're asking me to go against Belichick and Brady in the right. championship game. I thought they could lose to the Ravens here in this round.
Right.
Patriots have never lost an AFC championship.
And
game.
I don't think they will if they get there, and I think they're going to get there. I think Brady picks apart the Chargers defense. I think Phillip Rivers will play better than some people think. However, I think he will have a couple of costly turnovers in this game. They control Tomlinson. I like the Patriots to win 7, 10, 13 points in that range on the road.
Wow. That's great. I feel good about it.
And I'm not
that.
Just saying it. I really think they're going to win.
Why do you feel good about that? He's always wrong.
I just like it when people, you know, like the Patriots.
Good analysis. Wait a minute. You were defending the Ravens, but you feel the same way Paul does.
What?
That the Patriots, if they win this week, they're in the Super Bowl.
I said I can't pick against them in a championship game. I still think the Ravens have a very good shot at beating the Patriots. It's just hard if we're sitting here and Belichick and Brady are one game away from what we've always experienced around here to say, they're going to lose. So, but I do like the Ravens' chances against them better than the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
I already got you down, don't worry.
Right. I've got the Patriots winning this 30-27 in overtime, so.
So with the points you're taking.
I don't even want to hear the word overtime.
Huh? Oh, no.
I don't mention
win.
It. Don't say it.
What?
Because if a game goes into overtime, I'm going to kill you.
It's kind of irrelevant at that point. So yeah. We get home a half hour later. It's 10 in the morning instead of 9:30 or 11 in the morning instead of 10:30.
I can't wait to be sitting next to him if the game goes into overtime to hear him tell me how irrelevant it is.
Well, I'll be ranting.
Jesus Christ. Plus, now they got the game going into overtime?
I'm talking about a half hour here. That could be the half hour I doze off on my ride home and hit a median or something and die.
By the way, the Chargers said that they don't have a lot of seats in the press box. You guys might have to be outside.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Not covering the game. If I sit in the stands, I'm acting like a fan. I'll be drinking and cheering.
I'll be at the airport getting a flight home.
All right. I doubt that, Tom.
I'm going to read some of those emails. There's a ton of them.
Yeah, no, but where did you leave off? I don't know.
I haven't read. I delete them when I read them, so anything that's there is unread.
Really?
There's thousands of them. Webradiopatriots.com.
Yeah, but I'm not where you were. I'm in my own thing. Did we have the screw you, Andy?
No, read it.
Let's Patty from Ireland.
Nice! My favorite emailer.
Great show as always, despite having Andy A-hole Hart hosting for the first hour. Every time Andy is hosting, he takes a few shots at me. So screw you, Andy. I would tell Tom to bend you over a table, but you might enjoy it too much.
Patty, I was in your kind of place the other night, an Irish pub in Providence. And I order a burger. It's a Guinness barbecue burger. So I'm hoping it's going to taste more barbecue than Guinness. But no, I got to taste that Guinness crap taste that all you morons drink.
That just goes to show how stupid he is. He doesn't like Guinness, yet he orders a Guinness barbecue burger.
I thought it would taste more barbecue than Guinness, but I got stuck with the taste those idiot Irish people like. Do you have to get drunk first and then drink Guinness? Is that how it works for it to taste good and be enjoyable?
Actually, it's an acquired taste, but it's delicious.
An acquired taste? Tom's acquired the taste for men. I don't like all these acquired tastes.
It's like an entree. I mean, you can eat it as food. You can drink it as food.
Listen, Andy.
I like my drinks to be drinks, not entrees.
First of all, I've laid more pipe than Roto-Rooter, so don't talk to me about...
It's still laying pipe either way, whatever the recipient is.
Josh in Jacksonville says, I know you guys have been talking about how this could be Rodney's last year. Do you think that if that is true, the Patriots could hire him as a defensive motivational coach? He's one of the best safeties in the game, and even though he might not know everything about coaching, he could have a motivational impact with the players.
Well, I don't think such a position
exists. I think he wants to go into
refereeing.
Yeah,
and I heard that he wants to be a referee, right?
Right, and I also don't think – there's a lot of these players, that, especially dedicated ones that put in 12 hours, 15-hour days preparing for games – they don't want to be a coach and have to do that the rest of their lives.
They want to move on to something else.
Right. They want to kind of pull back and take a breath, and they see what Bill Belichick does, being here 18 hours a day or whatever, preparing, and they don't always want to take part in that. In fact, a lot of them say, yeah, I might want to coach, but it'll be in high school or college.
Right.
It won't be in the pros.
Did we talk about Shannon's response to Waterloo?
I don't think so, no.
I guess these guys are having this email fight going. He says, nice try, Sawyer, but that was completely weak and unoriginal, not to mention that I've heard so many references to penises and colons in one email, how very Waterloo, Iowa of you. You couldn't have sounded more like a homosexual pig crap shoveler. Way to prove my point, and please send my best to Dixie Ann.
Who's Dixie Ann?
That's his girlfriend.
Wait, why do we know girlfriend's
name? No,
he
made it up.
Oh. Jesus, getting personal between those two. We might have to stop that feud. This is like freaking Donald
but if we were Howard Stern, we'd get them together and have a boxing match.
Right, right.
No, we could do that, too.
While Dixie Ann is on the Sibian.
The what?
The Sibian.
You don't know what that is, do
What's
you?
The Sibian?
Think of, you know, one of those bucking broncos in the bars that people sit
Except
on.
Except it doesn't have a bucking bronco. It has a bucking penis.
We should be doing that. I just saw Howard Stern get an $89 million bonus.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good for him.
And I'm sitting here eating leftover.
Alex says the Chargers will lose because of Phillip Rivers. He has no playoff experience and he can't handle the pressure. This game is not like a regular season game where you can make mistakes and do it better in the next week. This game is for the AFC Championship to get there, I guess. He has to perform well, and I don't think he can handle the pressure like Brady. Brady has top playoff experience, and even if Rivers doesn't throw the ball well, LT can't do it alone. The only worries I'm having with the Patriots is can the receivers do their job on Sunday? If Rivers plays his best and beats the Pats, he's going to have a big ring this year.
See, I just don't understand this thinking. Now, I told you I thought Rivers was going to play pretty well, but turn the ball over a couple of times. Who had more experience? I forget. Rich Gannon or Tom Brady? Because I forget that. Who had more experience right in that game?
I was actually going to bring up the same point. Why do we always assume a guy's just going to fail?
When Troy Aikman went to face Steve Young, who had more experience there?
Yeah, but Tom Brady is a once-in-a-lifetime quarterback.
Well, I'm not taking anything away from Brady. I'm just saying you can't just say Phillip Rivers will play terribly.
No, you can't.
Didn't he go to five bowl games and win the MVP in every one or something?
Right. And I think he's going to play well, but I think the defenses that Belichick's going to scheme up are going to confuse him enough where he's going to have a couple of turnovers, maybe a strip sack, and that's going to be the deciding factor. But just to say he's not going to play well because he's a young quarterback in the playoffs, I can't buy that.
Peyton Manning's as experienced as anyone, and all he does is throw picks.
<I know.
laughs> Gabe is from Trevo's, Pennsylvania. Says, Gary, that was awesome, but I would have loved to hear that. What is he talking about, Gary? Do you know?
Gary doesn't even know.
He sent a WAV file called Bang Bang. I don't know what that means.
Are you sending porn?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but the one thing I'd love to see in this game that we haven't done is a strip sack on Rivers in a recovered fumble and return for a TD.
Sure.
I'd love to see that.
Why not? Sure, Tully Bandicane and Roosevelt Colvin and all those guys would love to do it.
It's kind of like George, though, Fred, sitting there like thinking of jobs, and he wants to be an announcer, and Jerry goes, man, those could be hard to get. I mean, getting a strip sack, those could be hard to get. It's not like you, Belichick says, hey, Jarvis, get me a strip sack on this play.
Chargers don't turn the ball over. What did they turn it over? 16 times all year?
Yeah, not a lot.
I want to say.
Greg has he's from Waltham, he has a fairly lengthy email, but basically he's talking about the Charger fans saying that they really don't support the team that much, and that they're pretty lame when it comes to making
now,
noise
did you
in the
say,
stadium.
Did you say Charger fans or Patriot fans?
Well,
wow.
But this guy's talking about Charger fans.
Wait, I don't know a ton about Chargers fans, but I do know Paul talked about going there in the mid-90s and said it was a very hostile environment.
Yeah, we've been hearing a lot of different things in that email. We've been hearing it can be pretty crazy there, and this could be like a kind of a new thing. Maybe. Plus, they're good. Listen, anytime your team's good, I don't care where you are. The place, if Arizona was good, that place would be packed for a playoff game, and it would be loud. It's loud everywhere except for New England.
I was going
to
say.
He says, add to fair weather fandom the fact that Southern California crowds are pretty tame in general. I've been to plenty of football and baseball games there. Let me tell you, they don't even like to stand up to cheer because it's an inconvenience to them from drinking their Starbucks and talking on their cell phones. Sounds like Paul's kind of place.
It does.
So for any Pats fan headed to the game, wear your full gear, cheer your loudest, and talk as much crap as you can to those pussies because they ain't going to do anything to you.
Yeah, when a gang member knifes you, you can thank this emailer.
Chances are most of them will be headed out the door with their tails between their legs at the start of the fourth quarter when their team is down 14 points. And P.S., did you hear about the Chargers blocking out-of-state ticket purchase for the game?
They're serious? Even
worried they don't have a home field advantage. You didn't know that?
Yes. This is the guy that goes to the game.
I knew that.
This is the guy that goes to the game, and when he says something and four guys tell him to shut the F up, he just says, okay, and turns around. But he tells everyone else to act like a tough guy.
As he probably should, since we've heard that gang members like to frequent the Chargers games.
Mike is from...
I'm not getting killed over a football game.
I'm not either.
Mike is out in California. He says he's been listening to the broadcast, and I can't believe how confident you guys are about the upcoming game. You're going to get killed by a far more superior team than the one that has already beat you the last two meetings. All I can say to the Patriots is enjoy the weather while you're here and bring a lot of ice packs for the long ride home.
Didn't I say 28-17 Chargers?
Yeah, two people here picked the Chargers, and actually it's been pretty nice here. So
that's true. Finally got cold, though. We can actually feel like we're going from
New England. Tomorrow it's supposed to be 50-something.
Oh, is it? Oh, Jesus, what's wrong with this weather around? Wait.
The world's melting. What do you want?
I'm worried.
I like it when the opponent sends in emails and listens to our show. Obviously, they don't have one on their own site to listen to, so they have to. But
they will next
year
because Fred's going to teach them how to do a website.
Besides that, though, I just remember in 2001 when we went to Pittsburgh, and those Pittsburgh fans were killing us. They were coming to our bulletin board and just killing us.
But
and
I like that stuff.
That's what I'm saying. I love it.
That's
what sports
is about. You're supposed to talk
when
trash.
When you beat them, it's that much more sweet.
Right.
You know?
Sports is all we got away from that, and now it's all about teamwork
and
all this
crap.
Thanks to this freaking place.
Yeah, you're actually right. They have a large part in that. But I liked when teams didn't like each other, and, you know, now we got Bill and Mangini hugging. I want to see them punch each other like Buddy Ryan.
That was the photographer.
Don says, listening again this morning from San Diego, sorry to hear about Hitman Rodney. He's revered in San Diego and a sure Hall of Famer. The 0-1 Rams and current Chargers offense.
Sure Chargers Hall of Famer or sure?
No, he said revered in San Diego and sure Hall of Famer.
I'm not so sure that he's a sure Hall of Famer.
For a safety, you gotta be Superman to get
it. I don't. And he says the 0-1 Rams and current Chargers offense are completely different. Forget,
I agree.
Forget just the stats, pass run ratio, yards in the air, etc. Chargers are more physical, a lot more physical. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I personally see that as an advantage versus teams like the Pats. Pats have always used the bully approach facing talented offensive-oriented teams. Chargers may score a lot like other foes, but they are bullies too, just like the Pats. This is going to be a fierce-hitting game on Sunday. The AFC is just wicked this year. Winner of our game, then we'll have to face another bully, the Ravens. Whoever survives the attrition will need that week off prior to the Super Bowl.
I agree.
The town is buzzing and can't wait for Sunday. And by the way, if the Pats win, they will have earned it. No excuses from me.
Listen, is there any way we can keep these Charger fans around after this game? I like them better than the Patriots fans, to be honest with you. I mean, that was a great email.
It was a very good email. The only thing I would say is, and this got lost in the press conference as well, people aren't trying to compare the two offenses. They're trying to compare Tomlinson and Falk.
The way they
and
played them.
When you have a guy who's so much a part of their
and
offense.
And when Tomlinson motions out of the backfield and they go empty, does the Patriots send Vrabel and Colvin out with him to try to knock his head off at the line of scrimmage? Do you do those sort of tactics that we've seen them try to bully in the past? Now, I don't know if it'll be successful, and I agree with him. The most underrated part of their game is Tomlinson's power and the fact that they have the best fullback maybe ever that they can line up and just pound it down your throat if they want to.
It is. I mean,
but I think that the issue is, are they going to try to physically attack Tomlinson?
I mean, there's no doubt that San Diego's definitely caught it. It all came together for them this year. They've got it all.
Well,
you know,
I think you have to give A.J. Smith a lot of it. He made some controversial moves.
Yep.
And they've worked out.
They sure have.
He traded Eli Manning, ends up with Rivers and Merriman as part of that trade.
Yeah.
And he sends Breeze packing when a lot of people, including myself, thought it's sort of crazy to pass on a Pro Bowl-type quarterback. But he believed in it, and it looks like it was probably the right decision.
And let me ask you, would you trade Rivers for Manning straight up?
Would I trade Rivers for Manning straight up?
Elon,
no.
Would you trade Merriman for Manning straight up?
No.
Nice move, New York.
Chargers got the better player in both, and they got two.
Frank says, listening to the show from Mount Juliet, Tennessee.
Wait, Fred, we forgot. The Giants got Chris Snead, too.
Oh, good. I saw him jump off sides last week.
You know who else the Chargers got? Kading.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
Wow.
So wait a minute.
Three Pro Bowlers.
That's two All-Pros. Oh, no, maybe just two one All-Pro. I don't know if Kading was. I think Gould, your boy. I think he was the All-Pro
Robbie
kicker.
Gould?
Yeah, I think he was the All-Pro kicker.
Wow.
Fred knows kickers.
He does know foot-to-ball speed.
Mount Juliet, Tennessee is where Frank's listening from. Want to tell someone, the mic levels are not equal.
Thanks,
the
Gary.
The volume level is set at stun.
See what happens? Gary gets excited with his sound bites that he forgets to play with his levels.
Gary doesn't like it when people comment on his technical.
Does not take constructive criticism very well.
It doesn't sound well, though.
Now he's giving Tom that look.
Hal says,
next up, you're Michael. Shut up.
Hal Baptista is here. Says he loves the show. Not a lot of Pats fans here in Fresno, California.
But Pat Hill is.
All Raiders and Niners losers. Just wanted to give you a heads up on another Fresno State player that's on the unofficial list to be at the NFL Combine, running back Dwayne Wright, 6'1", 210, 220, 12 games, 261 rushing attempts for 1,462 yards with 11 TDs, 22 receptions for 221 yards and a TD. Playing for a team that struggled, to say the least, no doubt there are better backs out there, but this kid is a real workhorse with good work ethic. Keep an eye on him during your combine coverage. Would like to know what you think. And also, Rivers will throw at least one interception and fumble once due to nerves, so Pats win by 14.
Wow.
And he truly drinks to get drunk.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
So, there you go. Guy to look out for.
Tom, you know anything about that guy?
Yeah, he's pretty good. And he's right. He played on a awful team. Fresno
so we got
State
no
was
chance
terrible. Well, no, he's not. He's more of a mid-round guy, I think. I don't think he has that blazing speed. Like he said, he's more of a workhorse, work hard kind of guy, the 4 to 5 yards.
Maybe he's a change of pace for Maroney in the future.
Kind
of
like, I would say, like a Wally Lundy type of player.
Maybe it's a guy we do need to talk to when we're down there in Indy.
Dave from D.C., the more I hear about the Chargers, the less likely I envision the Pats will be able to stop them cold. My guess is that the Pats' best chance of beating the Chargers will be to hold them to field goals in the red zone. Sure, the Chargers may be able to move down the field and eat up the clock, but if the Pats can hold them to three, we'll still have a strong fighting chance of hanging with them. Thankfully, the Pats have been strong this year in the red zone.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, well, it's like when we were in Tennessee, and the thing came up on the board, and it says keys to the game, and it said score touchdowns, and Fred made fun of it, and it ended up being it was true. Tennessee couldn't score touchdowns; they had to kick field goals, and you know it sounds
I think
like
it's pretty obvious.
Well, I'm just saying it is obvious.
It
but
is
it's
obvious,
true.
But it's true.
Rich in Howell, New Jersey. This isn't Mr. Howell. He lives in Howell.
You're Mr. Howell.
You know
that, right? That you're Mr. Howell.
I've already forgotten what was said that made me think of this, but a joke. This guy goes into a house of ill repute, and the first thing he notices is that the place has three floors and that all the customers seem to be on the third floor. So the guy walks up to the madam and asks her about it. She said, "You see, all the girls on the first floor are ex-models, and all you hear from behind the door is, 'Don't touch my hair, don't smudge my lipstick.' All the girls on the second floor are ex-telephone operators. So all you hear behind the door is, 'Sorry, time's up. I need more money. Sorry, time's up.' Well, all the girls on the third floor are ex-teachers. And what you hear from behind the door is, 'You're going to do it. You're going to keep doing it until you get it right.'"
Oh, my God, that is funny.
Okay. Anyway, the football stuff.
Fred didn't really like it.
He has a comment on Kevin Falk's TD reception. When they initially lined up, Falk lined up wide to the right behind a wideout, leading me to believe that it might be a screen pass to him in the flat. Then there was a shift, and he was brought back in next to Tom Brady. And I thought, okay, they brought him back to block or run inside. The Jets shift accordingly. Then, when the ball was snapped, he ran right back to where he was originally. The Jets cover guy never made it out to cover him. Maybe he was half expecting to run into the line. I'm thinking that the Jets might have mentally eliminated the pass to Falk in the flat because the Pats showed it to them and then took it away with the shift. I wonder if sometimes a play is designed so that the shift is actually part of the play itself just to change the mindset of the defense, kind of like a man in motion. Anyway, yes. It worked on me. I was surprised when he bolted out to the right and the ball was snapped.
Yes.
Well, actually, Bill commented. He thinks that the guy actually tried to get out to cover him, kind of got caught up.
Well, the Jets were with the movement. The Jets were signaling different things to their secondary, and I saw it was the line. It was a 55, the white linebacker for the Jets. He was on basically the other side of the ball, signaling.
Eric Smith?
And is that him?
33, the safety. Wasn't
the
it?
White?
Yeah,
it was the white guy on the other side of the ball. He was signaling to the defense while trying to run across the formation. The ball got snapped, and he was just too far away and, you know, too much ground to cover.
Don has some sights to see in San Diego. Like the zoo, Balboa Park.
Yeah, that's where the Patriots lost in 63, right?
Yeah. Wild Animal Park. I was told that's more...
I will be seeing none of them.
SeaWorld. Now, I can just see Andy and Paul at SeaWorld, and when the whale comes out, Paul making... Andy making a comment at Paul.
We're not on vacation for a week.
Saturday is.
Yeah, but... Football starts at 4:30.
Exactly. I have all day to do something.
All day? By the time you get to the zoo, it'll be 1 o'clock. You'll be there for...
So you know, all I want to see is the panda bear.
It's over.
I'm a big panda bear fan.
Let's see.
I don't care about whales.
Josh from Lexington. I saw some Pats fans with blue towels at the game. Are they sold at the stadium?
Nope. You cannot buy Patriots beach towels here at Gillette Stadium's Pro Shop. Ken Flanders dropped the ball on that one.
I think that red, white, and blue color towel would be more flashy than the plain blue one. I say that if we had Ronnie and Wilson in the lineup, we could beat anybody. Chargers are bleeping lucky that our starting safeties are out.
Why? Isn't Hawkins better than Wilson?
He's played better than Wilson over the last year and a half.
That's what I think. So, in other words, they're missing Rodney.
Well, he's played better than Wilson was playing. I think
Eugene
Wilson at his best,
years ago.
I thought he was a budding Pro Bowler, a budding playmaker, and at some point that went south. I don't know if that's his doing. I don't know if the league caught up to him. You know, he had kind of the same college career at Illinois. He was very good as, I want to say, a sophomore, And then he kind of came back to reality as his career went on. So maybe it's just sort of the trend of his playing.
Scott from Maine wants to talk about the Chargers versus the Pats' opponents' winning percentages.
Well, Tom, why don't you handle this one? You seem to be doing a fine job.
Tom from Foxborough is going to take his headphones off and
watch this thing on
TV because I don't care about this.
Tom's been in an ass PFW battle with many, many fans throughout the week.
There's two good teams on the field Sunday. The team that plays the best is going to win. Why are you talking about who they played in week two or week three? I don't care. I just don't care. All this is, that's an insecure fan who's worried about the Patriots losing and is trying to find a way to talk himself into a victory.
Well, I think it is interesting, though. At the beginning of the season, we looked at the Patriots' schedule. We all said, it's pretty weak. But as it turns out, it was pretty weak. If you go by that, I don't care about the strength of schedule.
Look at the teams they played.
That was four wins.
I'm just saying that it turned out that their strength of schedule put them at like 12.
The San Diego Chargers played the AFC West and the NFC West. Both divisions are better than the divisions the Patriots played, playing the AFC East and the NFC North.
Absolutely.
Okay?
So it doesn't matter what a computer says.
Strength of schedule gets really hurt by the fact that they have the Raiders on it twice that won two games. That drags down their strength of schedule significantly.
But it helps them. You know, it's two easy wins.
First of all, I'm not sure they're easy wins because the Raiders' defense was pretty good. And second of all, it drags down their strength of schedule. And if that's the specific thing you're talking about, it got hurt by that. Don't tell me you'd rather play the NFC West than the NFC North.
No.
Seattle.
Except for the Raiders.
The NFC West.
NFC West.
Seattle, San Francisco, St. Louis. Yes. All teams fighting for the playoffs till the end.
Right. Better than the
Green
NFC
Bay,
North.
I guess they were fighting for the playoffs too, but they stunk.
But that's all.
Those teams were better.
It's the NFC. Let's see. Josh says.
Plus the AFC, it gets overlooked there. They played the Broncos twice, beat them. They played, by the way, the Broncos that beat the Patriots. They played the Chiefs twice, split, lost in Kansas City, where it's a tough place to play for anybody.
On a last-second field goal.
I mean, look at the schedule.
Their two losses were a last-second touchdown and a last-second field goal.
Right.
I don't understand where the strength of schedule, all this crap's coming from. Yeah, they were ahead. Bill pointed out, they were ahead in, like, by double digits, and I think 10 games.
Oh, yeah, an interesting number brought up to me this morning. I guess it's stolen from the Mike and Mike Morning Show. The Chargers have the greatest fourth-quarter offense in the history of the league with 170 points or something, and the Patriots led the league this year in fourth-quarter defense with 50 allowed, I believe.
Wow. See, now, I think stuff like that is more interesting to talk about than strength of schedule.
Right.
Who cares?
Right.
Listen, we all agree these are two good football teams. On Sunday, we'll find out the better team. And if the Patriots lose to the Chargers, what do we say? Well, they must have lost a team that wasn't that good because their strength of schedule wasn't good.
Right.
If the Patriots beat the Chargers, what do we say? Big deal. Chargers' strength of schedule wasn't that good. Overrated.
Right.
So I want to hear those emails next week when the Patriots win.
Well, I think the fourth quarter thing's interesting because they sort of used it as opposing, if it's a tight game, do you want the Chargers, who are supposedly the best in the history of football, scoring in the fourth quarter?
Well, it's the immovable,
or do you want Tom?
Yeah.
Or do you want just Tom Brady, who's pretty gosh darn good, getting it done when he needs to?
Let's see. Josh says that crap is bull crap about Phillip Rivers. Of course.
What crap?
People said before this season that he was inexperienced. Same talk now. Phillip Rivers will surprise you all again. At the end of the Super Bowl, you will see who was the best quarterback in that draft. The Wolfpack went to four consecutive bowl games under the leadership of Rivers, winning three of them, including a New Year's Day victory over the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame in the 0-2 Gator Bowl.
Doesn't everybody beat Notre Dame in bowl games?
Both those teams were not that great.
Rivers was named ACC Athlete of the Year in 2004 and was also named MVP of five bowl games, including the Senior Bowl. Pats are great, but the Bolts are better.
And I will just say the same thing to this guy that I said to the last emailer. That doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Doesn't mean a damn thing on Sunday. I don't think Rivers is going to struggle as badly as some other people. Like I said, I think he might have a couple of turnovers. But I don't care what he did in college. What did Curtis Enos do in college?
And by the way, if you want to compare that draft, one of the quarterbacks already won a Super Bowl. I don't care how he performed. He led his team to a Super Bowl after leading him to the AFC Championship his first year.
John has some comments about Tom's subject. Now he wants to sleep with him. First he wanted to press his lips on your ass. Now he wants to sleep with you in San Diego. He's a butt muncher. Don't turn your back on him.
That's a good email. That's a good email. He kind of caught you on that one.
I don't want to sleep with them. I just want a room with somebody I can actually talk to.
Let's see.
These listeners listen very well. They actually do.
Oh, yeah. Did we talk about Sean's email about Tippett?
Well, that's Charlie Waters.
The guy who's up for the Super Bowl? Yeah.
The
guy who just emailed in, maybe he can come to Gillette Stadium and ask for Tom Casale. When I walk out, we'll see if he'll say that to my face, because I bet you he'll cower in the corner with his tail between his legs.
Wow.
Yeah, because he'll be afraid what you're going to do to him. He doesn't mean fight.
Then he'll find out what the real meaning behind bending someone over is when I put his head through the window.
We got no problem with you putting people's heads through windows. It's the bending over part we don't like. Tick, 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 tick. Oh, no, he already went off. He'll go off again later.
Pratt from Germantown, Maryland. How you Dougies doing? Fine. I don't know. That's what he said.
What does it mean?
I don't know what a Dougie is. Big game this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. I honestly think that the only team that can stop the Chargers from making it to the Super Bowl is the Patriots. I think the Colts and Ravens are both flawed teams because the Colts defense is suspect and so is the Ravens offense. The winner of the Pats Chargers game will be in the Super Bowl, and you guys have heard it from me first. Well, actually, not.
Everybody is just overlooking the Ravens.
Somehow I have a gut instinct that the Pats will put out an upset this weekend, but you know why? It won't be easy. Belichick will game plan well. It will take great execution from the players and Tom Brady's best game of the year, but they will do it. So continue to eat your vitamins, say your prayers, and provide listeners with great insight like you buds always do.
Well, you know why? It amazes me how quickly Patriot fans forget. The Chargers are, the Ravens are playing great right now as a team. Now, when it's all about team, they'll point that out to you. But then when stats back up their point,
right,
they'll point out the stats.
Right.
Who cares what the Ravens are ranked in offense? They're beating everybody. They're beating them big. They beat the Chargers this year. I mean, they're a pretty good football team. To say that you're just going to walk over the Ravens, especially the Patriots, who have to go there.
Right.
I mean, they have to go to Baltimore. That's a tough place to play. I'm not ready to say that.
Let's play a little game that Tom played successfully to start the season. Who's going to be the Patriots' leading receiver during the season? He said Rishay Caldwell got it right. Got lucky there. It was a 1-2 chance. But who's going to be the leading receiver this week?
How do you know? How do you remember that?
Well, we did a point-counterpoint.
Yeah.
I took Ben Watson. He took...
Oh, you were both pretty close.
Right. Well, there was only two choices. There was only two choices there, Fred.
Caldwell will be the leading receiver this week.
Caldwell,
guaranteed.
How many?
8 catches.
4? Like a good game? I mean, a near 100
yards and a touchdown.
Wow, I would consider that a tremendous game.
He's going to get a 35-40-yarder.
Fred, leading receiver.
That's a good one.
By the way, everybody's turned on Ben Watson. I even heard WEEI, the suck-ups there on the big show, just kind of saying, I don't think he's ever going to be what he could be. He leaves you wanting more. He's not the weapon he should be, which I tend to agree with. I was just shocked to hear them say it. They take pictures with the head coach all in gray sweatshirts.
Who will be the leading receiver this week?
I think
he doesn't for his picks, but I ask him a stupid question.
Caldwell is a good choice. Watson, I think, is viable.
Okay, just pick one.
I even think Kevin Falk should be thrown in that mix.
You don't have a feeling on any of these receivers?
I don't have a feeling on any of these receivers.
Well, Red doesn't have a feeling.
John Rook's sleeping on the $600 couch.
Did anyone have a feeling
that
Jabbar Gaffney would be the leading receiver last week?
No.
I mean,
I have a feeling he will not be this week.
I think the open receiver will be.
Oh, thanks. You're a lot of fun. I'm going Kevin Falk.
Well, that's why I mentioned Kevin Falk.
Keeps dumping it off to him when he needs to.
Yeah.
I know you mentioned the whole frickin' roster. I asked you for one, not the whole team.
I mentioned 3 guys.
You mentioned the whole roster.
Dan Marino weight loss plan. There you go.
Yeah, why don't you try that?
Dan
give
Marino
you a free
never
week.
Looked like that.
What are you talking about?
He never was that fat.
All these guys lost weight.
Yeah, but
I like when John Crook goes, my wife says I'm not quite as disgusting anymore. Crook was fat.
Look how good these guys look. Fred, you could be in that same class.
You should
class.
Do that. Why don't you do that? See if it works.
You can't. The minute they get off that, they gain it right back.
Okay,
that's
but
not the
at
way
least
to
you lost it.
Because they stopped dieting. You're supposed to keep going.
They do like you do and come in and have 2 bags of Fritos, a slice of pizza, 8 things of wings.
John Rook's here.
John Rook's hair is all poofy. Do you have the top down?
It's what happens when you run to get
Well,
here.
John, we heard your usual negative commentary on the team.
Yeah, what's
from
this?
The
can't tackle, and that's why they're going to lose.
Negative commentary?
That's what we're hearing.
I thought you were like mini Fred. I thought
mini
you were all
Fred?
Positive.
No. I've said all along that this team has trouble tackling.
That's no question. It's true, and that'll be the difference this Sunday?
I personally think it'll be one of the differences, because if you don't wrap up a guy like LaDainian Tomlinson, he will burn you.
No question. That is accurate.
And that's where I think I think all things are actually pretty even. I think the Patriots will come in and play a decent game. If they, you know, keep the turnovers and the mistakes to a minimum, I think both teams will be able to move the football on the other. I think the bottom line will end up being, I think the Patriots will probably have one or two less big plays than the Chargers will. And I think that's what the end up the where the difference is going to be.
Have you projected a score yet?
I have not. I was actually going to save that for the next program. But
okay.
I'll put it to you this way. I'm actually closer now, over the last couple of days, to thinking the Patriots have a good chance to win than I was 2 days ago.
Now, we all are.
What's changed for you?
Actually, that's a very good question, Fred. Probably partly because we spent most of our time, talking about the Patriots, really, because we look at it so much more closely from this vantage point than we do out there. And I'm wondering if that's going to balance out any Hank Bauer, who does their radio and his former Charger. He's going to join us at the top of the program to talk a little bit more about it from the San Diego perspective. I'll see if that widens the gap.
Don't let him get away with any crap.
Go yourself, San Diego.
Make sure you play that when he's on, Gary.
How many times has that actually played this week? Are we into triple digits?
That's gotten a lot of play.
I thought probably.
But it won't be played on the bus because the guy who provides movies.
That's going to be the headline on PFW if we win this game.
if we lose, what about power outage?
Power outage?
That's not bad.
Depends on how they lose, yeah.
Yeah, like if their offense can't do anything.
It could be.
Yeah.
I think that this will be a shootout. I think it could very easily be like about a, I'm thinking like a 34-31 type of game.
Interesting.
Now, what's the deal tomorrow? We have to be on the bus at 1:00 by 1:30.
We're not doing radio tomorrow.
We're not doing a show tomorrow, no. Gary?
I guess not.
why can't we do an hour?
Because Tom Casale won't be down here.
We have to edit at some point in this little process.
Yeah.
Well, when are we going to edit?
I don't know.
There's no show tomorrow. I'm sorry.
We can't do a show tomorrow. Replay today. It was a great show. I lead off the first hour hosting. It was tremendous. Good stuff.
All right.
You got to do something.
All right. So
unless you want to bring in another fill-in host.
So there's no show.
Everybody's going to San Diego.
Have a replay tomorrow. And then
like Mike Perini or something.
Monday is Patriots Monday. Yeah. And Tuesday we'll be back because it's going to be a Patriots victory.
So we'll.
What?
I like the attitude anyway. I think that's good. I think that's very good.
So we're either on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Right.
Interesting.
You win Tuesday. You lose Wednesday.
Right.
See everybody Wednesday.
See you Tuesday.
Ah, please.
Andy Hart, as usual.
See you next Wednesday.
Breaks a tackle, drives it upfield, to the 10, to the 5, touchdown!